to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this?
You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Well, this is inadvertent.
It's never inadvertent, Don.
Say hail to the Redskins, everybody.
Yeah.
Obviously, the wrong music bed loaded into the computer.
Where is it?
Hail to the Redskins. Mike's doing something with his microphone right now. His microphone's not operating, I predict. If he could, he'd say something angry about Wendell Hall. At the stage is set here at 10900 Main Street.
Hi, I'm back. I'm back. Hi, you all.
Welcome.
It's Michael Merrill versus the equipment. Yes, who will win today?
Same. You know, engineers are wonderful. They just don't understand about microphone cables and that certain disc jockeys need to move them around and have flexibility. But that's okay because now I have fixed it. Mike. And it is good to go for the show.
Mike?
Yes, Don.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, now?
No.
WJFK.
Hello. Hello, Mr. President Bush has promised to demolish that awful Iraqi prison. He says it will be dismantled one naked, hooded Iraqi at a time.
Excellent.
I believe in miracles.
Mr. Shut up.
Nice.
Hello, Mr. Drysdale.
That's Milburn Drysdale. He's Joseph Positively Wonderful.
I believe in miracles.
Oh, God. Okay, I got a fast one.
Do another.
Okay, all right, twist my arm.
Please.
Okay.
Please do.
You bastard.
Yay, another.
You always make me do this. Always. You always do.
The Don and Mike Show. WKFK.
Kids who watch... Hello.
Hello there, Mr. Shannon.
Kids who watch movies showing alcohol use are more likely to try drinking.
Hey, now.
Wrong one. Yeah, no, you were right, Mike. I was wrong.
Hit the right, wrong one.
Hey, good instinct, though.
Hey, now.
Good instinct, Mike. What?
Where are we?
Because you heard this, and you thought the show was starting, and I meant to hit that.
Ah.
Oh, I like
that's
that.
That's entirely different.
Right. Ay, ay, ay.
Eesh.
Kids who watch movies showing alcohol use are more likely to try drinking. Whoa. Well, then, my kid ain't going to be watching Queer as Folk no more, I'll tell you that.
Okay.
Wow.
Do another one.
Hey, now.
Thank you. Hold on. Give me a second. Mike, again?
Hey, now.
Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
And you know who enjoys those jokes every day.
Yeah.
I do, Leon.
Does. But keep her away from those evil men.
Yeah. They like the jokes, too.
Well, I don't care.
Yeah. I know. All of your uncles.
Based on a true story.
Uncle.
He was a neo-Nazi.
Okay.
With one true enemy. Himself. A man of faith. A man of hate. And a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
Must beware.
It was a fine joke.
And good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Farrell K.
Farrell, all right, the DJ Farrell K.
Yay, and all the ships at sea, they scream when the jeweler covers them in molten copper. Bravo, and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah.
All right, we're back. That was awesome. No.
Ignore that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Ignore the mic.
Well, stand again.
Thank you very much. I was standing up. Why did you do that to me?
I didn't. Why did I do? Why did this board do that to you?
You opened the door and pushed me out the door, and then I was outside. And you were still inside.
The other thing before, I'll take the blame for that.
Right.
For hitting the do 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 do.
Right.
But it should have been bom 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 up the door.
Well, it's my belief, Mr. Shannon, that anytime someone hits the door, someone should be left outside.
Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. It's a new episode on this
Wednesday.
05-26-04.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Are you still Mr. Drysdale?
I'll be whatever you want me to be.
I'll be, but I don't want...
What are you doing?
I thought I was letting Mr. Drysdale back out.
Said you were letting me out. You didn't identify me as Mr. Drysdale. I'm standing outside.
You went... You went, hello.
So what do you want? Do you want
Mr. Drysdale voice.
That's because
I was choking on my drink before.
Welcome back.
No, it's good to be back in here because it, just the timing was a little... off, sorry. And so I was drinking.
That door was placed
but I was drinking a non-alcoholic beverage.
Yes, and that'll change shortly. The door was opened accidentally.
By the Columbia School of Broadcasting.
Yes, let me just tell you, all of the things that I would like to talk about on today's show.
This okay. You should not do. I'm not an animal.
Here you go.
I'm not Michael.
Get ready for this.
Yes.
I love my lists.
Oh, I know. Nobody loves a list like you do.
Okay. In no particular, well, no, in a particular order. Let me just tell you, just for the opening break.
Yeah.
I want to talk about American Idol. I want to talk about 24. I want to talk about the local TV coverage of the tornado and how it was only covered on all the stations except the one that had American Idol. Mm-hmm. I want to ask Buzz about the accident involving his wife falling off a ladder.
That's right.
Want to play the tape of Joe back in 1987, very wasted, 17 years ago when the cicadas came out.
Look at me surrounded by the little bugs with red and blue eyes.
We have that tape. Yeah. Also, from yesterday's program, we have a follow-over to the controversy about the ad for the disc jockeys and the lying general manager.
Would that be a follow-over or a follow-up?
A follow-up because we left it.
Yeah, but it'll be a follow-up.
We left it open yesterday, and it may not be closed today.
Really?
It may not be closed today. Rob, who, believe it or not, always tries to look on the bright side. He does. For being such a hateful guy, I'll say this, in real life, he does give people the benefit of the doubt way too often. I mean, we were discussing this up in the office before the show, and he's like saying to me, you know, I think Cameron, the program director, really probably is innocent in all of this.
I'm inclined to agree with him.
I do too.
I think he is.
Technically. Now, wait a minute. Wait.
Caught in the middle of it.
No. I don't like the word innocent. Well, what I like is the fact that technically, he's probably not fibbing. Mm-hmm. That's as far as I want to go with it. I think somebody...
Which is like if I... let's say I killed Buzz and just didn't tell you. But you... Hold on. But you kind of knew... But I said to you, hey, Buzz is dead.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
But I didn't say to you, I killed Buzz, but you knew I killed Buzz?
Well, here's where the sticky wicket. I happen to remember what was said by our general manager yesterday. And what our general manager said yesterday was that no one in the company placed an ad.
Well,
that's what he said.
Hold on. As I mentioned, there are many things to discuss. Let's start with Buzz. And let's ask Buzz.
All right.
As long as we're on the topic and I threw that out, well, what if I was to say to you that I had killed Buzz, you know, where Buzz was dead? I ask you, what would you think if your buddy comes into work and says that he's very upset that his wife...
I think one thing and one thing only.
What?
Cameron did it.
His wife has had an... And I use the Dr. Evil quotation, an accident.
An accident in the home.
Yes.
That's right.
Working near Buzz.
Yeah. And
Buzz was riding a tricycle. She was changing a light bulb on the balcony, and she fell over the banister, just like in The Omen.
Well, that's kind of what happened, right, Buzz?
A little close,
I mean, we'd like your testimony now. Let me just say, here in the Rob Spiewak Kangaroo Court,
yes,
where every man is, of course, innocent until his wife comes out with a videotape proving that he's guilty.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Let me say that I do believe that Buzz had nothing to do with Marcia falling, fracturing her wrist.
Oh, my God.
And what, banging her head?
Yeah, she hit her head, but she, you know, a minor fractured wrist. You know, nothing serious. She's going to be all right.
Minor fracture.
Yeah.
Not a compound fracture.
No.
No bone poking through the skin.
More of a hairline fracture.
Exactly what happened.
She's in a cast and will be for the next 4 weeks. I didn't push her off the ladder. I can tell you that. And
what was she doing to be on the ladder in the first place?
I didn't rig the ladder in any way.
Now, while you're defending yourself a little too strongly, I might ask, could you tell us what she was doing on the ladder in the first place?
That's a very good question.
Because was she using the ladder as a mode of escape?
No, she was not. There really was no reason for her to be on the ladder as near as...
So she would not have been making an attempt, say, to get out of a well?
No, there was no well.
Where was the ladder, Buzz?
The ladder was in my screen porch, on my screen porch.
Mm-hmm.
On your screen porch.
Have you been on the ladder before, your wife?
I had been on the ladder, yes, and a friend of a friend who was helping me install the
And then you left said ladder?
I did. And
then your wife innocently stepped on said ladder and had said, quote-unquote, Dr. Evil accident?
That is correct.
Was she involved with the putting in the installing of the ceiling fan?
No, not directly, no. And really, again, no particular reason for her to be on the ladder.
Would she have been going up the ladder to take a look at the ceiling fan?
Exactly, Mike. I think she wanted to examine the work and see what was being done.
So a curiosity fractured the wrist.
Yes.
True.
Well said.
Mm-hmm. True or not, though, Buzz, and I must speak out for your wife and for all bad women out there. True or not, you consider yourself to be a Bob Vila type. You're a do-it-all at the house.
I'm pretty handy, most things.
And if you've been working on something like installing a ceiling fan, and you knock off to go out in the backyard, have a Camel, and have an ice cold Miller Lite,
right?
Are you bothered when your wife goes up to check on your work?
Well, sure, I think anybody's made a little nervous by that fact, by being...
And because
you know,
of that, Buzz, would it surprise you if I told you that the Donnie CSI, the DCSIs, were over there moments ago and found, on the ladder, steps, petroleum jelly?
Vaseline!
Well, that was from an earlier party. It's possible that was there.
Yeah. Would I have another series of questions here.
Uh-huh.
Would she have been checking your handiwork when she got on the ladder?
Well, possibly.
With the job or the work of my friend. Is there a chance that the job was probably completed satisfactorily, but she did not necessarily believe it?
I don't know. I thought the job was progressing nicely. It wasn't finished. It was midway through the project that this...
Well, what was she doing up there, Mr. Burbank? I think it's a very direct question.
Yes? Exactly.
Yes, Mike. Or no? What was she doing up there, yes or no?
Yes.
Rob,
were you proud of the job you did, Buzz?
Very, very proud.
You're proud of your handiwork, aren't you, Buzz?
Always, yeah.
Would you invite or insist that she examine the handiwork?
If she did this in her own mind.
She never mentioned that she should take a look at it.
Sidebar, for all the listeners now, they should know that Buzz is sitting on one side of the room, and Don, Rob, and myself, we are all behind a big oak desk, all wearing powdered wigs.
Right, and I'm in the witness box.
And as far as me, I'm commando underneath this robe.
This whole court is commando.
It's commando, and I love it. I'm 18, and I like it.
And Mike spit out his water.
Oh! Yeah. Buzz, when your wife took this unfortunate tumble.
Uh-huh. The nasty spill.
Well, however you like to call it. Uh-huh. Whatever queer name you've given it.
Uh-huh.
How long was your wife...
Are you going to ask about how long it took for him to offer assistance?
Well, I'd like to know how long she... was she... incapacity? I mean, was she, when you came home, was she like Woody in Toy Story? I mean, was she just laying on the ground, or was she okay when incidentally, after you set this trap for your wife, where did you go?
I went inside for a moment. I think it was something to do with the wiring. I think I had to work on a fixture.
Oh, just one moment.
Inside.
You were on the premises when this accident occurred?
Yes, I was.
This happened last evening?
Yes, it did.
You were there?
I was at the house, yes.
Okay. Interesting.
Can you estimate the length of time she was unconscious?
I don't know if she was unconscious or for how long. I watched her lay there for several moments, panicked, paralyzed with fear.
Mr. Burbank, if you had chosen to offer assistance, could she in fact have not fractured her wrist?
I think the damage had already been done. It was a question.
So you say. Mr. Burbank, I have a question.
Yes, yes, sir.
You mentioned that you came in, you saw your wife as Woody in Toy Story on the floor. You looked at her for a few moments. Was that the testimony?
Yes, it was.
A few moments could mean exactly that, a few moments, or in such a severe shock to your system, could it in fact have been 30 to 40 to 50 to 60 minutes?
I lost track of time. Anything's possible.
And isn't it true that the extent of her injuries would probably warrant medevacing her by helicopter from your home?
Or at least putting her into your late model European-made car to drive her to the nearby emergency room?
And isn't it true that you did nothing of the kind? Isn't it true, in fact, Mr. Burbank?
That is true, yes. I did nothing of the kind.
You really didn't?
No.
You didn't take her to the hospital?
After she... Well, see, first day...
You came in and your wife had fallen off a ladder and was laying on the ground like a broken doll?
Right.
And you didn't scoop her up into your
did
big
you
family arms?
Any, did you administer any first aid?
When she... No.
Were there any contusions?
She did hit her head and...
Was there blood?
No blood.
You know, lack of medical attention is what killed Danny Thomas.
But lack of blood in this particular circumstance would mean internal bleeding.
And one other question. Is there an insurance policy on her?
Of course there is. There is. Yeah. Isn't it true that, in fact, that insurance policy exceeds the value of your very own?
May I?
I don't know the exact value.
Isn't it true,
Mr. Burbank, that your wife is worth more to you dead than alive?
May I follow up?
I don't know.
Mike, may I
please zoom.
May I take a couple of minutes of your time?
Go ahead, counselor. I yield to the fine gentleman from Virginia.
Is it not true that after discovering your wife, looking at her for a period of time,
several moments,
before deciding that you would not take her to the hospital, is it true or not true that you then bundled her up this morning and sent her off to her job?
Now wrapped her in blankets to prepare her for the 86 degree. Except for the bundling part, that's true.
Now, sent her out on the street dazed, confused.
Also, is it not true, please be correcting me if I'm incorrect, but is it not true that your wife works in a physician's office?
That is true, yes.
That is true, Mr. Burbank. You know how I know that?
How?
Because I also go to that very same doctor's office.
Isn't there a conflict of interest?
He is a wonderful doctor, a fine physician.
Yes, he is.
And
he
I is. Say to you...
Is this a conflict of interest? Do you have to step down because you go to that doctor?
No, I do not. But here's my point.
I say you must recuse yourself.
No, if you would simply give me... If you would simply... Let me say this.
I will let you... I will
the
let
fact
you
that I have also gone to this doctor for my many ailments...
Uh-huh.
It has nothing to do with the story. Let me just point out that when he bundled her up, pushed her in the car...
Didn't bundle.
Pushed her foot on the gas pedal and said, go to work, I don't care how you feel.
Uh-huh.
He sent her to a doctor's office where she works. And you know the first thing they did when she walked in?
What is that?
They said, Marcia, what is wrong with your wrist? You need an X-ray yesterday.
Oh, really? And it was only then that they discovered the break? That's true. Yes, that is correct.
Now, Buzz, if your wife had had a job at Kmart, if she had had a job at Ames, if she was lucky enough, like my wife, to be working at Walmart...
If she'd worked in any nail salon in the Northern Virginia area...
You know, you wouldn't have gotten that type of treatment. It's just dumb luck that your wife works in a doctor's office.
That is true. That's the only thing that... Otherwise, she would have probably had permanent... disfigurement.
She may have been like that guy on 24 last night.
Isn't it true?
May have had to have taken the entire... May have had to Dennis Murphy her. Mm-hmm.
Isn't it true, Mr. Burbank, that your poor, sweet, petite wife...
Yes?
...is very small and very fragile, and in fact, any fall from any length would have caused bone damage?
I'm aware of that, yes.
Yet you chose to let her stay in the home all night without medical attention, didn't you?
She said she was fine, yes.
Never took one single measure to guard her frailty.
You didn't provide her with a splint?
No, I was just stunned.
You didn't make any attempt to suck the poison out?
Plus, I needed to finish the project, so...
Is the project finished?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, the project. You know what the real project is.
The project isn't totally finished yet.
That's right. He didn't complete that project. Well, I'm sorry. I can only conclude one thing.
Yes?
He's guilty. He's as guilty as a man can be.
I agree.
I do too.
I'm not sure what the charge is.
O.J. Burbank.
Yes.
That's what I say.
Honey, climb up to the top of the ladder. Now, first I was just stunned, and then I waited for her to regain consciousness. And when she did, I assumed everything was fine.
Now, really, no kidding. When you waited for her to regain consciousness, seriously, did you, like, give her the... Honey, wake up.
No, I as I recall, I stood over her and leaned forward, peering to see if she was okay.
Ah. Just peering.
Did you hear her fall? I heard something.
You think?
I heard something, and I went running,
you
of course.
Heard something.
I immediately went running.
What's the first thing you checked when you saw her laying there lifeless?
I checked for emotion. I just looked to see if she was moving.
For emotion as opposed to emotion.
No, yeah.
I thought you wanted
an emotion.
Oh, smiling, laughing.
I thought he said emotion, too.
No,
and then he
no.
said, I checked to see if she was moving.
Did
I checked
check
for emotion.
If she was breathing?
Not directly, no.
Wow.
He's like that lifeguard we had on the other day.
Did you check the neck pulse? No, there was no need for that.
Mirror?
Hold on. By the time I'd absorbed what had happened and saw that she was moving, I felt no need.
By the time you'd absorbed it.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, she absorbs the blow of the floor.
Unfortunately, yes.
It's concrete floor on your sunroom?
Yeah.
Mike, time for us to get to the bottom of this.
Yes, absolutely.
This number will work.
Hello?
Marcia, it's Don and Mike.
Hi.
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 Marcia, how are you?
Perhaps
you...
I should just turn down my radio.
Yeah, we are so concerned about you.
Listen, dear friend. Where are you, dear friend?
Well, now...
Marcia?
Yes?
Listen, dear friend.
Yes?
When I called your house on my way to work today...
Uh-huh.
And I asked where your husband was, because he had left me a message.
Yes.
And we had our little, hi, how you doing? And you said, no, he doesn't. How come you didn't tell me that he had just assaulted you last night?
Oh, no, he didn't assault me.
Was there any slippery substance at the top of the ladder, Marcia? Anything that would have caused you to lose your footing?
I wasn't all the way to the top of the ladder.
You weren't to the top of the ladder.
I went up to see the holes that were being drilled, and I was coming back down the ladder, backing down, and I thought I was on the bottom, and I wasn't.
Dear girl, do you have any idea how long you may have been laying there unconscious?
I wasn't unconscious.
How long did he just stand over you, staring at you?
I don't know.
I hit
my head and my wrist hurt.
She's not thinking clearly.
He said, are you okay? And I said, just give me a minute, I'm fine.
And were you, obviously, with a hairline fracture of your wrist, you were in excruciating pain. Why? Why would he not let you seek the medical attention that you so badly needed?
You know, I really wasn't in that much pain, and I still am not.
Before you made the climb up the ladder, Marcia, did he offer you a cold drink or something to eat that he had prepared?
The friend who was there.
Rocco.
Rocco. We use the name Rocco.
That's the reason we're calling Buzz Old Lace today.
When Rocco, let me just, would there be any chance that while you were laying there in your most vulnerable, you know, lights out,
right?
For, you know, what as far as you could have known, could have been hours.
Sure.
How do you know that there wasn't a Rocco party happening there?
No, I wasn't out.
You were not out.
Oh, no.
You were not out, but you do have a fractured wrist.
I do.
You do, and you do have a bump on your head.
I remember hearing me hit my head,
but there's
no bump, and I have no tender spot.
Marcia?
Yes.
This is Mike.
Hi.
I'm going to tell you something right now that might come as a shock to you.
All right.
Fact of the matter is, Marcia, that when you took that tumble from the ladder, even though you're unaware of it,
mm-hmm.
you have been asleep for 14 days. Welcome back.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We're concerned about you. You know, we care about you.
I know you do. Well, they made me come home from work. They said I shouldn't be working.
Well, of course, because as luck would have it, you work at a doctor's office.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank God.
As luck
because
would have
if
it.
That hadn't happened, she might not be with us today. Whatever.
Probably the way it swelled overnight, I would have gone to an emergency room to see about it.
Yeah, you would have gone. You would have struggled to drive that car with one hand, meanwhile, while the unconcerned king of the hill over here.
You know, it is tough to drive a stick shift with a...
Oh, my God.
You made her drive a stick shift with her broken wrist?
It was her choice to get the standard transmission.
Oh. That's right.
Okay.
Well, we hope you feel better, Marcia.
As long as you're okay.
Well, you know, the toughest part is getting dressed.
Really?
And the holes that you went up to check out, they were okay?
I was just curious to mm-hmm. see what it was.
Right, and they were fine? They met your standards?
Everything works fine.
Well, thank God that it's easy to slip into those simple house dresses that he keeps you in.
Those potato sacks.
I'm thinking about just wearing underwear and buttoning up my lab coat and just not bothering.
Hey, that'd be okay.
Yeah.
Now you're turning me on.
And business has increased.
How's that different than any other day?
Oh.
Marcia, we all hope you feel better, and for Christ's sake, watch your back.
Yes, I promise.
All right.
Good answers, babe, and be careful on the stairs.
I will.
All right, bye, Marcia.
Bye.
There she goes.
Okay, Buzz.
You heard me warn her about the stairs.
It's like in Monty Python. You heartless bastard!
really should watch those stairs. Are you okay?
Show me a sign of emotion. Show me emotion.
Not now.
Not even a twitch.
Now. Yeah. Can you wiggle your finger?
I don't see that.
I've won. You ought to come over and see the ceiling fan. It works great.
Buzz.
Fantastic.
Buzz. Okay, that's Buzz.
Yeah.
That's Buzz. We love Buzz. And I hope Marcia's feeling better.
She's fine.
Last night in the D.C. area, we had a tornado warning.
Yep.
And, you know, lots of places around the country that we broadcast to get tornadoes all the time. I don't know how you guys handle it. In Wichita, in Dallas, when you get the tornadoes, I don't know if they break into panic mode.
But Sam handled it very well last night.
They do here. Mm-hmm. However, keep in mind that American Idol was on Channel 5, the Fox station.
You didn't like Sam?
I love Sam Palka. He's fantastic. But here's the deal. On Channel 4, NBC, Channel 7, ABC, Channel 9, CBS. Because they know they're on against American Idol.
Right.
Right.
It's a tornado, and it's not really it's not a tornado. I mean, they have...
What do they say? They say something.
They said it was a thunderstorm that was in a, making circular motions.
They have something. They have... It is showing... Not... Is it convection?
Yeah.
Is that what they're saying?
Yeah. Like in an oven? Whatever it is. It's, you know, the storms are going in circles.
They're twirling.
And they're twirling, and they might turn into tornadoes. And
they were all around here.
People have seen funnel clouds. So I'm not saying that this does or does not belong on primetime television. All I'm saying is that American Idol, the biggest show of the year, was on last night.
Mm-hmm.
And of our four major networks here in D.C., three of them went to total storm coverage,
right.
While Channel 5, the station with American Idol, played American Idol, and for a while they did that thing, like, you know how the screen gets on an NFL game when they show highlights?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it kind of gets the little border around it, the shiny border around it.
Yeah, and I've never understood that. Like, if you're going to run a crawl on the top of the screen or something, I don't know why it is that you compress it, and you're wasting the entire left side.
Yeah,
a screen with a useless graphic.
So you can put the information up on the top.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, they're doing this on Channel 5, the Fox station. They're running American Idol, and then so they don't miss any commercials.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as like the dope says, "Okay, I'm Ryan Seacrest, we'll be right back," they cut to the Channel 5 weather lady, Sam Palka, and they give her maybe 10 seconds.
Right.
Now all the other stations are doing wall-to-wall coverage. She comes on and goes, "Hi, I'm Sam Palka. There's a chance of a tornado. It might touch down in the Lord area. We've got the information on the top of the screen. Don't forget to call for American Idol tonight. 10:00 news on Fox." Boom. That's it.
Wow.
Meanwhile, on the other stations, well, they've got their Super Doppler and
A look at Prince George's County, shall we?
And I got to give the award last night goes to my man, Topper Shutt.
Yeah. What Topper do last night?
My
I didn't see Topper at all.
Topper. WUSA Channel 9, the CBS station.
I like Topper.
I like it because he's the only weatherman that says he likes it when it snows.
Mm-hmm.
He likes it when the weather's bad.
Sure, likes it because it gives him something to do.
Yeah, he gets all turned on when the weather is bad.
Sure.
And last night, as they were muddling through this thing from 8 till 9 o'clock, I imagine most of the Washington areas like me, you'd watch American Idol. Then during the commercial, you turn on one of the other stations to see about the weather, right?
Exactly.
Unless the weather happened to be right on top of you, you know, and we live in a big area with 5 billion
people. I was actually relying on Sam's brief updates because it was not anywhere near me.
So I turn on Channel 9, and they're showing the maps, and you only hear his voice. And here's exactly what Topper shuts at 8:40 last night. He goes, "So right now, as you can see, the storms are moving out of the La Plata area. They'll be moving up Route 5, and it looks like these are not tornadoes. Thank goodness for that. Yes? Okay. Right? Yes, folks, we know that Navy NCIS is supposed to be on right now. We feel that this is more important than running that show. Can I just... And it's obvious someone's talking to him in his ear because he goes, yes. And we have a license to protect here. So we are going to stay with this coverage.
Hey, way to go, Todd.
Wow. Right. And it was a great...
He is right. Technically, he's right.
Mm-hmm. And it was a great behind-the-scenes moment that obviously someone was screaming in his ear, "Okay, tell them that the dumb Navy NCIS show won't be on. Now, Topper, tell them that it's in the license, okay? We have to do it." And it was
funny. Did you get the impression that Topper maybe came up with that one on his own?
No, because there was enough pausing,
right,
where you got
we have a license to protect
that someone is feeding something into his ear, you know. And maybe it was one of those, like, where you're like an air traffic controller, where you've got a director telling you something and then somebody else telling you something in your ear, and then all of a sudden, like, the overriding boss
Did you get the impression that they all have at the same time they've gotten recent new technology that they're very eager to use, which pinpoints these storms?
Yeah.
I've never seen, and they all were doing it, they were all, like, narrowing it down almost to streets where they could tell you where they thought they might have this convection.
Like worst that. Piece of technology was on Channel 5 during their 10 o'clock news when Sam said, "We can also show you where there was lightning."
Oh, did you see that?
And it looked like a kid had covered a map of Virginia with a yellow crayon.
They were sitting there, and what it shows is the after lightning hits.
Yeah.
And there were so many of them.
That is a big, giant smear.
It's just one field of yellow.
Yes. My wife is not a foul-mouthed lady, but she actually said, "What the F?"
Hey, but you know, if we're talking about Channel 5 here in Washington,
Wilma Thomas. Did anybody see his macho street racing report?
Did I?
No.
These cars are tricked out.
And he's got the big collar up, you know, sure, trying to make him look, really, like he's not in his usual dress.
This Honda Accord. Let's look at what it costs.
Some of these kids spend up to $5,000 to trick up their machines.
These two mirrors on each side, $200 each. Wow. The fin on the back, $800.
And then the big shot of him standing with his legs spread in the middle of the parking lot in the big Iron Man pose as they were driving the cars up behind him.
It's me, Wilma Thomas.
Weren't they trying to make him more masculine by giving him that report? And it failed miserably.
Did you tape that for me?
It was fantastic.
And American Idol, hold on, about the storm. Jeff, Don, and Mike. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Don, I heard Topper last night, and he probably said that because I was the one calling WUSA, and they kept hanging up, and I sent them emails, and that's probably why somebody said something into Topper.
Are you a big Navy CSI fan or whatever?
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm. And they ended up replaying it at 1:30 in the morning and didn't tell anybody, so, of course, my TiVo didn't tape it. But, Don, I'm the opposite of you. I TiVo American Idol, then I watch Navy NCIS.
Okay.
So Topper's a dope. That's all I have to say.
Right. And you're a winner. You're a winner because you watch Navy and CSI and TiVo American Idol. Get out of here, you
dope. Hey, Topper has a legitimate issue, though, because when you're talking about TV stations and local, that's it for a lot of people. And if you are in Alexandria and they don't tell you that they know a tornado's coming, they can lose their license.
But on one end, you can do it on Channel 5, though.
You absolutely can. They're covered, too.
You can run the show and still do the stuff.
You can do it that way.
Hello, Norman.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
Hey, I just was talking, thinking about the Channel 5 yesterday. I'm a big Simpsons fan, and around 6 o'clock, they actually started covering the storm there. And they break in like every 5 minutes. So you got like 2 minutes of episode, 5 minutes of commercials, and then 5 minutes of this.
Why am I only getting 2 minutes of episodes? I'm only getting 2 minutes of episodes.
Here's the other thing I noticed, that once American Idol was over and 24 started,
right, my stories,
they're still doing this thing where the screen is like one quarter of the size that it's supposed to be because they've got all the maps and all the warnings.
Here in Northern Virginia, or as we like to call it, Tornado Alley.
And, and you'd be watching 24 and go, God, it's like watching it on a 12-inch screen.
That's true.
And then all of a sudden, they would lift all the stuff. All of the maps and everything would be gone. Mm-hmm. And you go, oh, great, it's back to regular. And you know why all this stuff is gone? Because they're going to commercials.
Sure.
Because
they
got to get the commercials on.
Yeah, they have to have a full screen for the commercials.
And God, now we've got a lot to talk. We got a break. I told you we've got a lot to get to today. We've not even gotten to the conspiracy about Alan and Cameron and the DJ ad and Joe's cicada tape and the guy with the absinthe. We've not talked about American Idol. I've not given you my absolute lock of the year.
Is this your big parlay?
This is my parlay of the year.
Unless you say one thing, I'm not going to be prepared to disagree with you.
Is it
going to be controversial?
I believe so.
Ooh. Hey.
I believe it's going to be controversial.
Wait, I'm ready. I smell a bet.
Remember, soul versus pop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Soul versus pop.
USA Today.
Remember that.
Mm-hmm. Talent versus garbage.
Well, what did I read today?
Talent versus a garbage can.
What did I read today, though? Who text messages? Young white girls.
Oh, really?
Now, well, apparently, now this is what I'm reading now.
Mm-hmm.
Young blacks don't text message. It's a young white thing.
Hmm. Is that another? Is that from the Glorious USA Today again?
Yeah, hold on a second. Or maybe it's from the Post. You know, I need to. Robbie, I'm sorry, Mike, would you give me the Post?
Yes. The thing to me yesterday, you identified this, that USA Today was trying to make this some sort of race issue by, soul versus pop. And the thing that's ridiculous about that.
The one part in it is right there, the style.
The one thing that's ridiculous about that is the fact that, last year, you had a black-white issue with Ruben and Clay, and there was never anything said about that.
I got to read you what she writes today. What is this? Blah, 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 blah. Hold on about the, with the girls, with the white girls. Oh, okay, here you go. Now what she's referring to in this article is calls to the Tom Joyner show. Okay, Tom Joyner morning show. Another caller speculated that the reason that they had received the fewest votes was that African Americans don't text message, while little white kids vote repeatedly with their cell phones. And then they mention, and now here's another level of, you know, take it as it is.
Right.
Then the newspaper says text messaging costs 10 cents a vote. Phone voting is free.
So, I mean, you read into it whenever
we're
you
want. We're not going to say that that's some sort of socioeconomic statement, but we are.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I would love to text message, but Lord, Lordy, I'm 10 cents every time. And look at gasoline at $2.25 a minute. An hour a gallon, we can't do it. We cannot afford it. We cannot afford it. Meanwhile, I have now text messaged 25 times.
Because my parents give me a generous allowance.
Yeah.
Can text messages come up busy?
No. Oh, and here's the answer to that. Because I researched this with my kid,
yes,
who happens to be white and does text message.
Uh-huh.
The deal on American Idol is, if you text message a vote in, as long as it arrives, like last night it was a 4-hour window,
right,
even if it stacks up, it counts.
Really?
Oh.
It's like,
well, are you ready for your, are you going to make your bold?
After, Mike?
Are you teasing?
After the break.
Oh. So after the break, may I inform our listening audience that after the break, you will announce the winner of American Idol?
Bet your ass.
You'll get it here first, folks.
Bet your ass. Bet your ass.
Donnie's winner pick.
I know America.
That's D-O-N-I.
You do.
I know America, and I know that we've had our ups and downs this year. That America has led me astray a couple of times. They didn't back me with JPL. Oh, and hey, how about Paul Anka? Nice career, dummy.
Oh my God, nice song at the end.
That's a nice pimple on the end of your career. That was worse than when Diana DeGorma didn't hit the note in the middle of the song.
Oh man, when she was singing "Cry Out Loud," don't cry out loud.
Oh, and
don't cry out loud.
Ouch.
And at some point, I'd like to analyze the lyrics to that. Would you have somebody print those lyrics out for me during the break? Because it really is not a very positive song.
Mama cried the day the circus came to town.
She
didn't like parades just going by.
I played the song like 8,000 times when I was a DJ, and it was always one of those you just put on and go,
Mama cried the day the circus came to town.
But you get the message is like, the message is,
keep it inside.
Yeah, whatever you're feeling, don't let anything out.
No.
And even though there's not a chance in the world,
my mantra,
that you can ever win at anything, don't worry about it. Because you're okay, because you're a big fat loser. But whatever you do, shut your mouth about it.
Right.
Okay.
Come on, what are you talking about?
A pep talk over.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I flopped the nut straight.
You fool, you mother! That is it!
That's it? What the f*** are you talking about? That's it? Take it back, okay?
Yes! No more! No! Not tonight! This son of bitch all night, he chick! He trapped me!
Well, are you feeling satisfied now, Teddy? Because I can go on busting you up all night.
Yes! Yes! He beats me. Straight up. Pay that man his money.
The Don and Mike Show. Come, tickle the toes of Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Not mine.
Stop it.
Just Mike.
Help yourself.
Stop it. Help. I am not into that.
Stop it.
All right, we have the words.
Yes.
It's a song that Diana sang last night on American Idol.
Don't cry out loud, and something about it has intrigued you.
I thought it when I heard her sing it the other 2 or 3 weeks ago. Talk about an inspirational song.
Okay.
All right.
Baby cried the day the circus came to town because she didn't want parades just passing by her. So she painted on a smile and took up with some clown, but she danced without a net upon the wire. I know a lot about her because you see, baby's an awful lot like me. And here's where you get to the part that's really
isn't
uplifting.
It? I know a lot about her, don't you see?
Because
you see.
Ah.
Baby is an awful lot like me.
And here you go. Here's the part where you really feel good about yourself.
Okay.
Don't cry out loud. Just keep it inside. Learn how to hide your feelings. Fly high and proud. And if you should fail, remember you almost had it all.
It's a depressing song.
Yeah, and I can't read it like a sensitive person. It's better when you read it really like this.
baby saw the day they pulled that big top down. They left behind her dreams among the litter. The different kind of love she thought she'd found. There was nothing left. Just sawdust and glitter. Baby can't be broken, could you see? She had to find his teacher. That was me. I told her.
This is disturbing.
Don't cry out loud. Just keep it inside. Hide your feelings. Fly high and proud.
If you should fall.
Fail.
Mm-hmm. Well, remember, fail. You almost made it.
That is why, after this radio show is dead and gone, I know exactly what you are going to do. It's one word. Clergy.
Mm-hmm. I was hoping you could read it like the man who wrote the song.
Amen.
Peter Allen.
Peter Allen wrote it?
Yes. Don't cry out loud. Keep it inside. Hide your feelings.
Learn how to hide your feelings.
Fly high and proud. It should fall. What the hell? You almost made it, you big loser.
You know who'd sing that well would be Judy Garland, because it really sounds almost exactly like her when she's talking about, so what?
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
I'm going to write a book. Don't cry out loud.
Yuck. Okay, so watch The American Idol.
Mm-hmm. Are you ready to reveal your...
Yes, I am.
Your pick to click?
Time for the reveal.
And here's what I'm thinking. As I watched the both of them sing last night, that Diana did better in the first couple, and then she screwed up the last one, and Fantasia did better at the end. But I can't get out of my head that they've all already decided that Fantasia is the winner.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
So
yeah.
My pick is not based on who I think is the most talented.
Your pick. I want your pick to be based on who you think's going to win.
Diana Del Garmo.
DeGarmo.
Yes, that's my pick.
Are you willing to bet?
For the record.
Since I'm always looking for one of those easy bets.
Now, because it's something like this, I ain't going to like...
you can't put anything on.
Shave anything off,
right.
or you know, walk outside in a diaper or anything. But if you want to lay some cash, if you want to make a bet with me, a cash bet, I'll pay up tomorrow if I lose. But I have faith in the tar-like American.
I would love to bet you whatever amount you feel comfortable in betting.
Okay, how much would I feel comfortable?
I know your wife doesn't like you betting.
No, I know she hates it.
So, I mean, that's why I give the terms to you, because I will bet any amount. I will bet any amount you wish. I will bet any amount you wish.
But will you not at least concede that there's a chance?
Based on the season, of course there's a chance.
Okay, hold on.
I mean, really, who knows? I mean, but it will be an incredible injustice if Fantasia doesn't.
Yes, I know.
But
I know all of that.
It was an incredible injustice that the finalists weren't LaToya and Fantasia.
And the odds are not that America...
Hi, this is Rita. You can leave a message on my cell.
I can't even ask your permission. I just talked to you 2 goddamn minutes ago during the commercial.
I also have a tremendous amount of... that thing you got, that trend thing,
the
you
black
have.
White thing.
No.
The
I'm talking
finger
about
on
your
the pulse.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
That thing you have that I don't have. That's always the baby has kept this show on top for 20 years.
But listen, I'm not.
You have a gut on certain things. I don't know whether this is your gut or whether
a couple of weeks ago I would have bet you money that LaToya wouldn't have been.
No, but you were wrong on a couple of these during this.
Yeah, right. I'm not saying I'm infallible. I'm just saying
that I just think really that this is.
It would be the greatest end to the TV show.
Here's what I think. Last night she had a chance to make it much more of a competition, but at the end Diana DeGarmo redid a song that she had done better before. And as soon as that happened, I think she was out of the running.
Because
she stepped all over Don't Cry Out Loud. And that's one of the songs that got her into the final two.
But here's the thing. This is where then all the judges say, that really wasn't good. You had that bad spot where you dashed it. And then leave it to my man Simon. You know, that's it. It's over. This is your coronation, he says to Fantasia.
But here's the deal. When Simon says stuff like that, I think it can be damaging. When Simon says legitimate compliments, when he makes legitimate compliments, it can be very beneficial. And what he said last night was he said, she is the best that he's ever seen in any of the competitions. Mm. When he made that comment, I thought that would help her instead of hurt her. It's when they all gang up, I think you're right. There's a chance.
But here's the thing.
I'm just counting. The only reason I'll make this underdog bet with you is that I think there's enough people out there who are watching
who
this
just
show.
Want to mess with the competition.
Yeah, who really at this point don't. I mean, does anybody really? Is there any great injustice done that the best singer doesn't win one of these dumb shows?
No, the thing is, though, I wish it was more of a legitimate talent competition.
I don't, because I wouldn't watch it. Then it's Star Search. I mean, I like it because of the circus atmosphere that it has.
Yeah, but see, I think you can get a star. You can get somebody that's a unique talent.
But
our society. What
do you mean?
Diana DeGarmo?
But they're not stars. Clay Aiken's not a star.
No, you're right. They're not a
Ruben
star.
Ruben Studdard's not a star. Kelly Clarkson's not a star.
But I would enjoy it more if going into it, that at the end, you would really have a chance, possibly, to get somebody that everybody in the country would be excited about. You know what? As much as I thought, hey, Ruben and Clay were fine last year, I don't think, and
me?
Kelly and Justin, I'd like to see somebody where, hey man, this person, I would really be something.
I root for the underdog, and I root for the underdog because it would just screw up.
You don't always root for the underdog.
No, but in a situation like this.
Right.
Because a lot of times, you know me, stick with the winner. I like, you know.
You like to root for the person that's going to win.
Sure.
Sure.
But in a situation like this, it's too great. I mean, would it be the greatest? You got to sit through 2 hours
it
of crap tonight.
It would be an incredible upset.
To get to the last 10 minutes. But then the last 10 minutes, and then imagine the upheaval of this. You think there was an upheaval about the Iraqi photos?
Here's something.
What if the fat white girl wins?
You might like this, because here's something they were saying.
Then people are going to be pissed.
Here's what they were saying, and I watched Mary Hart.
Entertainment Tonight.
I watched that show, and one of the things they said on that show, and incidentally, the stuff they do with American Idol on Entertainment Tonight is just makes me want to...
You don't like the stuff with Cujo?
Oh, my God, I can't stand it.
All right, this is Cujo.
And now they're all in bed together. Mm-hmm. You know, the Idol judges are all in bed together, aren't they? They're popcorn. So one of the things that was said was that one of the girls needs to win the competition, and obviously it's Diana DeGarmo, to have any chance of successful career. The other one already has a success, and I agree with that. I think they were saying that it just was a little covering their bet, and it intrigued me because they said, you know, this is not necessarily, as you say, a slam dunk.
No,
Fantasia.
It's not a talent competition. You're dealing with...
But with that said...
With the moronic American public, of which I'm a card-carrying member.
But with that said, you know...
I know.
Here is the key to my safety deposit box. Name a price.
I bet you... I'm left.
Now don't you know you're going to have to clear it. So before you.
No, make it just. I'll bet you $100.
C-note is fine.
I'll bet you $100.
That's fine. A Benjamin.
I go higher, but you know me.
$100 is fine.
I bet you $100 just because I get $100.
No singing outside. Just $100.
No, nothing. Just $100.
Not to sweeten the pot. Like whoever the loser is has to sing. Don't cry out loud. On the lawn.
No chance.
Okay.
No
All right.
chance.
$100. I feel that this is. I feel almost guilty. I feel like I'm taking your money,
and I feel like I'm betting on everybody that.
See, even if you win, you're not going to feel that great about it.
I will. I'll love it if I win.
Right.
It won't even be the fact that I beat you in a bet.
Right.
It'll be the fact that. We, the cards of America, beat the system.
Yeah.
That the least talented person
right.
is the winner of American Idol.
Who knows?
Dallas, it also.
But would you not agree? I know. Now, just take the fact that I know you love the television show.
Yes,
you love the television show the way it's structured, and you like the John Peter Lewis's. But do you think? Don't you think it's possible with a nationwide competition, the way this is structured, and with the resources they have financially and otherwise, that they could produce
but who wants
some
to see
better
that
talent
and go to some faggot Broadway show? What I want to see is just regular kids, like not good enough to make it on the Mickey Mouse Club, and they're standing up there singing, and God damn it, this time I want the worst person to win.
Okay.
I want the fat white girl to win, because it will turn the world upside friggin' down. I guarantee you.
I don't know if it would turn the world upside down.
You know that 2 days ago, on the front page of your Washington Post, not the entertainment part, front page, Iraqi prisoners, Bush, gas prices, American Idol.
Oh, yeah.
Front page, Washington Post.
Right.
Diana wins, it's the front page of the newspaper tomorrow.
What if Fantasia wins?
What?
Won't Fantasia also make the front page, don't you think?
I think so.
Yeah, well, yeah. Either way, they'll make it.
They'll both be on the... And either way, they'll be forgotten the next day.
That's true. Oh, absolutely. that is so true.
But I really do. I mean, listening to Fantasia and watching her really... Last night, I think she's got a legitimate chance. More than any other one. Simply because she is unique. She does bring her own style to it, and I think she could do anything.
I don't know. I can't...
And I'm really... I mean, I'm...
I can't get past her mouth.
I know. You know, that's part of it.
It's like she got the Condoleezza Rice Goofy Toofy.
Yay!
Condoleezza only has two teeth that are far apart. None of these.
You know, not that Diana Del Kangaroo pouch.
Oh, you know,
any better.
I want a Polaroid in 10 years.
And listen, you know, if she wins the compo, really get her some lipo.
Right.
Win the compo. Get some lipo.
And Diana DeGarmo in 10 years is going to be like that woman on who. What's Eating Gilbert Grape? That's what it's going to be.
I like Michelle.
Hey, Michelle, those are good instincts.
That's good.
You are a good salesperson.
I just had some salespeople that were just standing by the window.
No, they were their actual clients. I'm sure they were clients, I think. Because Michelle was following up and literally herding them down the hallway.
Pushing them out of the way. Let's see. Hello, Alan. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, I voted for that Diana chick about 1,000 times.
Now, hold on. You know, that's really got to be impossible. Because I tried like a mental patient last night for an hour with a redial.
Me too.
I got through once.
You have to wait until the second, third, and fourth hour. After that, I had a cell phone. I had a regular phone. I was just hitting redial, and then, hi, this is Diana. Tune in to American Idol Finals, sponsored by ATT, and then you hear that all the time. You can do it. You can work the system.
All right. And your motivation for voting for Diana?
Going against the grain, creating controversy, upsetting the whole world dynamic.
Mm-hmm. If only there's more idiots like you out there.
Sure there are.
You know, working in the comic book store.
Yeah,
living with mom. Hello, Don and Mike, hosted radio show.
You might have a point.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
If every guy out there, let me say, if every guy out there with a skid mark called, she would be the runaway winner.
Exciting.
Hello, Daniel.
Yes. Hey, do you guys really like Fantasia's voice?
My opinion, Donnie, yeah, I think she's got an outstanding, extraordinary, one-of-a-kind voice.
I mean, to me, in one of those songs last night, she was singing, yeah.
No, and that was the song with the bad arrangement that was just horrible, and I think they all agreed that it was horrible. But, man, when she did that song, Summertime, I mean, she does that song.
Yeah, you know,
she does that song as well as any performer has ever sung it.
The song that snuck was the song that the girl from the other season wrote.
Yeah.
You know, and
I think LaToya should have been the winner.
I think it should have come down. I really would have liked to see LaToya and Fantasia just because I would have liked to see who stepped it up.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello, is this me? Am I on the air?
Yeah, you're on the air.
Yeah, there's a show on the WB called Superstars USA.
All right, come on. We'll tell you to listen to this show every day, for God's sakes. We only talked about it for a month. Hello, Don and Mike. Just thinking, that's $100 out of my pocket in the morning. Gonna be down $100.
Take your money.
Yes, you will.
No, I'm not.
Because I would take it from you.
I'm not unless you get cocky. And it's no fun to bet you when you're not cocky.
But now, if I'm cocky, though, tomorrow you gotta pay me.
Huh?
If I'm cocky tomorrow?
If I have to pay you, I'll pay you.
Yeah.
I have to pay you, I'll pay you gladly.
Hello, Don and Mike.
This is not a normal bet for us.
And I will not accept a $100 gift certificate to your restaurant either.
Thanks. Look around, Cafe.
Oh, no. Come on.
Hello.
I'll be there tonight.
Hello, Don and Mike. Yeah.
Or. We'll help on Wednesdays.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, you're on the air.
Come on by tonight.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
I think Diana's going to win tomorrow. I'll tell you why.
Well, if she wins tomorrow, that's news.
Because she's more of
an
American.
Hold on, my friend.
Yes.
You are aware of the fact that the results show is tonight.
Yes. Tonight.
All right.
Okay, I'm a dumbass.
Okay, just repeat that. Go ahead. What do you want to say?
She's going to win because she's more of the American Idol than Fantasia is. That's, you know.
Why,
let's go down this list.
Yeah, let's take this trip.
Why is she more of an American Idol than Fantasia?
Because she just sings more for the younger crowd than Fantasia. Fantasia can go out and sing for us.
I noticed that when I listened to the playlist from Diana DeGarmo. I find it much more youthful than Fantasia.
Yeah, that Melissa Manchester song.
Really?
That's pretty happening. Don't cry out loud.
God.
Hello, Don and Mike. Hello?
Oh, now listen, more children not being watched by their parents.
Are these children calling?
And the line went dead.
Of course. Oh, that's always disturbing.
Hello, Don and Mike Show, the Latchkey Kid, calling in. Hello.
Don Mike.
Yeah, Don and Mike. Hi, last call here on this American Idol thing.
Hey, Don, I wanted to know if you know that as of yesterday, Diana DeGarmo was at 13-5 in terms of the odds were 13-5. So if you bet Mike $100, you should, in a sense, if you win $260.
No. Now you're being like Rob using your big brain. No, it's an even up bet. It's like when we bet football, we don't bet points. It's just who wins the game.
Why don't you go back to the lounge at Caesars and play Keno, okay?
Thank you. Thank you, though.
Thank you, Donovan.
He's one of my skid mark guys. He's probably one of the skid marks that might make it happen for the fat girl
really
tonight.
13 times, so technically Mike would blow it.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Mike, there's a whole lot of people that want to draw the comparison between one of the all-time great Jet quarterbacks, Joe Namath, and Chad Pennington. What impresses you about Chad?
I believe everything that anyone else has watched Chad play impresses me. The same thing impresses them. He's a quality, classy quarterback that has a touch on the football. He's not a thrower, he's a passer. His mind is ahead of what the defense is, and if the Jets can support him, they will win the championship.
Joe, it's been a tough season for Jet fans. What does it mean to you now when the team is struggling?
I want to kiss you. I couldn't care less about the team struggling. What we know is we can improve. Chad Pennington, our quarterback, missed the first part of the season, and we struggled. We're looking to next season. We're looking to make a noise now, and I want to kiss you.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
Huge compliment. Joe Namath, part of the four decades team. We'll see these guys at halftime.
All right. Thank you, Susie.
Joe's just a happy guy. Isn't he? He's just a happy guy. Oh, boy, is he happy. The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636.
They're
ready to believe.
Hi, Julia.
Hello.
This is
Ghetto-licious. We tried. Yeah.
Words are hard for them. Don and Mike.
The absinthe guy is here.
Yeah.
I met him out in the hallway.
I want to bring him in here in a second. Uh-huh. But if we could, just take a brief moment to get some closure, if we can, on this thing from yesterday.
We should.
Yeah, I'd like to.
And also, as I mentioned, we got so much happening today. I'll just give you a taste, mm-hmm. Okay?
All right.
Back in 1987, the world's oldest phone screener, Joe Ardinger, was wasted with a tape recorder mm-hmm. the last time the cicadas invaded the area.
Wow.
17 years ago,
mm-hmm.
he has the tape. Please listen for a moment. We have about 10 minutes worth of this.
Oh, this sounds great.
Wasted Joe, uh-huh. 17 years ago with the cicadas.
Check. 1, 2, 3. This is Ardinger. And we're foraging out into my front lawn at this very minute. It's about 3:20 on Sunday morning.
3:20.
We're going to try to record some locusts.
As called them.
That's all I have for you right now.
That's great. All right, I'm going to go out on a limb. You went on a limb with Diana DeGarmo. I'm going to say this could be Joe Ardinger's greatest work yet.
That's just 2 days.
Yeah.
Just a tease, Joe from 17 years ago. We've got the tape. But I really think we should follow up on something that happened late in the show yesterday.
Yeah.
Going down the road and telling you everything we've already told you, here's what it is in a nutshell. That the manager and the program director here of this radio station, golly, there are other guys that work here.
Yeah.
Other DJs.
Right.
And Ron and Fez are their names, and we're very fond of them and their show.
Amen.
And their deal is up, and I guess they don't have a show like ours where they don't talk about the behind the scenes.
Did they not touch on this last night at all?
No.
Does anybody know whether they did?
I listened to them for a half hour on the way home, and
they didn't deal with it.
Not a word.
All right.
Now I'm sure it's because they don't like to talk about what's happening with their contract.
Yeah, I mean, if they've got an ongoing thing, I completely understand.
Right. And God knows we love talking about it. I mean, you've heard us go through it a million times.
The way we do stuff.
So anyway. The deal is that for a while there was a rumor going around because their contract is being negotiated. I don't know if they're going to stay or if they're going to go. I hope that they stay.
Should they stay or should they go now?
I've heard that the indications are it's going to work out and they're going to stay, and that would be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
A month ago, I don't know how long ago it was, we were doing the one of our absinthe shows, now apparently one of our regular monthly absinthe shows, and I'd had a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And as Ron and Fez were walking into the building, because they do a split shift, they have to work at 11 at night and at 7 at night, 11 in the morning and 7 at night,
mm-hmm.
We don't see them a lot. As they're walking in the building, because I was loaded, I said, hey, Ron and Fez, come on in here. Tell us if you're leaving to go to Tampa.
Right.
Because this is, listen, I'm in the radio business.
Right.
I talk to other radio people. We gossip.
Mm-hmm.
You gossip about stuff.
Right.
So then the next thing, over the last, even before this started, Cameron Gray, the program director, is coming in and giving me, as it turns out, what's great material. We haven't gotten to it yet. Tapes and resumes from disc jockeys who want to work at our radio station, WJFK.
Right.
And the reason that they're sending these tapes and that we have all of these bad DJ tapes to listen to is because there was an ad printed in the trade magazine that said WJFK has an opening.
Or on an internet tip sheet.
Yeah, well, actually, it's not even internet. It's something you got to pay for.
Okay.
Okay, and it might be internet that you have to pay for, but either way.
Uh-huh.
So, to preface this a bit more, about a month ago, when Cameron came in with one of these DJ tapes to give me, say, hey, this would be funny for the show, and I said, I agree, I read the letter, and the cover letter said, Dear Cameron, I'd love to work at WJFK. It's a great heritage station. We could do a great job filling the shoes of Ron and Fez, the guys that are on after us.
Hmm.
So I call Cameron in, because despite what you might think, I'm not a total jerk. I call Cameron in, and I say, hey, dude, I'm glad you're giving us the tapes, but like this letter says that they're going to replace Ron, they want Ron and Fez's job. I don't feel cool reading this. Like, this is not, this, regardless of what I say,
right,
drunk, if I said to them, hey, come tell us what's happening. I said, I don't feel cool with this. Cameron said, and his quote was, that ran by accident. That ad ran by accident.
Now, yes. Here's the deal. When you talk about an ad going into a publication of any kind, an accident is strange because you have to contact the people that run the place. You have to pay money to run the ad. You have to compose the ad. You have to put the phone numbers in. It didn't seem very plausible that would be an accident.
I know that I embellish on the show, and I do because it's a show.
Yeah.
But sometimes I tell you flat square, which Joe Theismann would say.
I'll be flat square honest with you.
I don't BS you. And my wife gets mad at me because I say all the time, I swear on my kid's life. I say, well, that's the only way that the people will know that I'm not, that I'm dropping the facade of doing the show for a second.
Right.
To say, I love my kid more than anything in the world. I trade my life for his in a New York second.
Right.
So when I say that, I mean it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to Cameron, I swear on my kid's life. You came in here and said that ad was an accident. And not only did you say it to me, you said it with Rob in the room.
Yeah,
Rob was standing right
there. The ad ran as an accident.
So Cameron came in yesterday on our show and said, I never said that. Now, I'm telling you, and I'm not trying to make a mountain out of a molehill, but it does stick in your craw a bit.
Right.
The guy's lying. Now, here's the thing about these management guys. They're so stupid. I understand that they're negotiating with these other disc jockeys, and I understand that there are levels of negotiation that go on.
Mm-hmm.
All he'd have to do is come in and say, listen, hey, drop this topic.
Anything off air that's of a sensitive nature, we wouldn't be in this business for as long as we've been in it if we did not, when asked, back off on something.
So if he just came in and said, or even if he came in when he was on the air and said, hey, it's all about negotiating. We have a position, they have a position. Let's just drop this.
But instead, we get kind of half-truths. We get cryptic comments.
He lies. He lies about having said it. And then the general manager, so one of them says, either the program director or the general manager says, well, the only reason the ad was even out there
is because you said something about...
Well, Cameron said that initially.
No, said this on your show.
That it was out there because we had said something on our show. And then Alan, at the end of the day yesterday, said, no one in this company placed that ad. Now, there are a lot... If you really want to get into semantics, there are ways you can talk around anything.
Even though Alan also said, on a separate occasion to me, as he said yesterday on the show, he also told me that the fact that this ad ran...
As an accident.
Now... We took the time to get in touch with the guy from the on-air tip sheet company.
Okay.
Here is the note that he sent to Cameron, which was forwarded to Rob, and I'm going to read it to you now. To whom it may concern about Cameron, this is to let you and all interested parties know that the listing for the night opportunity on WJFK came about as a news item from All Access. That is yet another disc jockey gossip job service.
Uh-huh.
I picked up on the item while the industry at large was in a frenzy over the Bubba the Love Sponge and Stern.
Uh-huh.
It was to be no more than a potential opening based on rumor and should have run in the tip sheet, only I lost track of it with the 600 other gigs that are listed. Sorry for any discomfort or ill feelings. It was just a hot tip with no temperature.
Okay.
It was not sent to me by anyone. Regards and regrets, Tom Hamilton. Now,
exonerate everybody.
However, hear me for a second. If all of that is true, why would both Cameron and Alan say the ad was a, the word was...
It ran as an accident.
Mm-hmm. If somebody did this to you, you're running a business, they run an ad that's not true. If you're talking about it with somebody, you characterize it as an accident?
No, you would say the truth. You would say that this ran because somebody picked up on it.
Okay.
And they got it from like a website.
Right, okay. Would you just...
Why are they saying... Because this speaks to the way they do stuff around here.
And this is why I don't believe them, because... I'll tell you what an accident is. Walking out on the street and getting hit by a bus.
Falling off a ladder. That's an accident.
Now, Buzz, that's debatable.
Okay.
That's debatable.
It ran as an accident. Why are they saying it like that?
I don't know. Why wouldn't
you? Look,
why wouldn't you just say?
Here's why I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated because you're absolutely right. Why would they say it like that? And when they say it like that, it arouses suspicion. And the thing that's tough about this is the fact that now the guy that runs it has said, yes, he runs ads based on rumors. So in other words, they are exonerated from this. But if they're exonerated, why didn't they just come out and say that in the first place?
And you know
why did they have to be
so
cryptic?
Because they're lying. Because why else would they if they weren't lying? Why do people lie? Why do people lie?
There's one other reason.
People lie because sometimes the truth doesn't fit.
No. I mean, there's one other reason besides why would they lie.
Why?
The stupidity factor.
Oh, but no. I've got an answer for that. If there's anything that we know about Alan Line 1, since he got this faux job as the general manager here.
You can't call him acting anymore.
Well, that's why I called him Fono, F-A-U-X. Even though he's the, you know, the general manager, he is, because his job is tenuous at best. I mean, he's sitting on a rocky seat he has for a long time. He has dotted every T and crossed every I. And I know I got it backwards, but you know what I mean.
I know.
Every detail, trust me. I know Alan. I'm looking at this ad.
You know what kills me here? What kills me here is they can put it to rest now.
But here's the thing. Hold on. I'm looking at the ad, and it's, if I'm Alan, and thank you God that I'm not, but I could picture being Alan. Alan would look at this, because it's on this tip sheet. It's got WJFK FM. It's got the address. It says Equal Opportunity Employer. If I'm Alan, the first thing I do, being as I'm paranoid and worried that I'm going to lose my job and everything else, I call this guy up, and I say, hey, Hal, you're killing me here.
Mm-hmm.
Because Alan has demonstrated this before, that if there's something out in the marketplace, something out in the industry that doesn't have his seal of approval on it, something that if a muckety-muck from Infinity comes to him and says, how can this get out there? If he doesn't have the answer, that's how he bases his whole existence.
Mm-hmm. Right?
That everything is buttoned down and he has an answer to everything.
Right. I'd be curious if they came down on this guy for running this thing.
Not a word.
And I'm still,
it's an accident.
And just one other little point of order. The information you have in your hand came to us through Rob or through
Cameron.
Cameron.
It Cameron
came through Cameron.
The email came to Cameron. Cameron forwarded it to Rob. Rob forwarded it to me. So,
and if this guy... What?
I spoke to the guy. I mean, it's genuine. It's
genuine. Oh, you spoke to the guy at the tip sheet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you... Well, but, Rob, well, come step up. Well,
come here.
There's nothing to add.
Well, what did the guy say? Did you grill him?
Don was there. I mean, he was basically...
Yeah, he grilled him, but not like I would grill him. You know Rob. Rob was being nice with the guy. And meanwhile, I was having to say to Rob, ask him how come it says EEO. How come it says all that stuff?
Yeah, all right. Yeah. What were his answers to that?
I said, why does it... What about the stuff that says EEO? Did that come from the tip? He says, that's added. I think he says that... He had a word for it. It was to the tune that it's rote. I mean, he always puts that on.
It's rote?
I mean, R-O-T. That's just how they add it.
It's written, you mean?
Well, no, not wrote like that, but it's just...
Oh, habit. By rote, by rote.
It's by habit.
So they put that down there in every ad that they run.
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, but now is... But let me also say that as I'm looking at these ads...
This exonerates the people here.
Let me tell you some of the things that it says...
Court of law.
Let me tell you some of the things it says below each ad. Because it's not... It's not the same thing. Underneath one of the ads, it says, full-time EOE, major market experience required, no telephone calls. The next ad says, full-time send tape and resume, EOE, computer skills selector, multi-track and track analog appearances, must know the music, no calls. Another one says, full-time EOE, computer skills selector, no calls. Another one says, full-time send tape and resume, ENE, no calls. The one for the ad that allegedly didn't run says, full-time, send tape and resume, EOE, major market experience required, please no phone calls. My point on this is there's not one standard after the ad thing that runs. Every one of these is different, unless the guy at the tip sheet says, oh, on this one I'm going to say EEO, on this one I'm going to say...
I think he indicated that if it's not something specific... He puts on what he put on
So
there's a chance that this guy writes the ads to look more credible than they actually may even
be. Makes his tip sheet look better.
Ah. Then,
but let's call Alan, though. Because still, how is it an accident?
Well, that... this place.
How is it an accident?
You know, what about this
place? Here's the other thing about...
You know, you realize now, though.
Here's the other thing, though. But they... imagine this. Imagine that Ron and Fez are driving to work one day. When we're doing the absinthe show, and they hear me saying, hey, what are you going to go to Tampa Bay? Why don't you come and talk about it? They go to Alan, and Alan says, oh, I can't control anything they say. And then let's say the next day that somebody goes to Ron and Fez and says, hey, there's an ad for your job. And they go to Alan. You know what Alan says? That's Don. He just won't shut up. You know, it's like they're trying to blame me for being the bad guy.
Wait a minute, but you got your information. You didn't get your information from the thin air. You got your information from another source.
I know I did. But
I mean,
Cameron,
a source that disc jockeys can read.
But Cameron indicated yesterday that the whole thing started by something that we said on our show.
And that is not true. All right, well, we're going to move past this ad thing because that's not true.
I
don't believe that's true. I believe they got it from that thing.
I know.
That's where they got it.
One of these dummies from upstairs would just be honest.
Oh, mercy.
You know what I mean?
You see, they're trying to palm it off of us, and we're calling them liars, and, you know.
Hi, it's Cameron.
Cameron, it's Don and Mike.
Cameron, Cameron, have you been listening to all this?
I have.
All right, so how is it an accident?
Yes.
The whole ad thing, how is it an accident? Can you explain that to me?
Who said it's an accident?
Didn't Alan say it was an accident?
I don't know what Alan said.
Oh,
on this show yesterday, Alan...
Aren't I exonerated?
No.
How?
On this show yesterday, Alan said, I told you privately it was an accident. And Cameron, really, I swear on my kid's life, you came into the studio when I showed you the letter from the guys from San Diego that had the names Ron and Fez, and I said, I don't feel cool reading this because of the ad that obviously is run, and you said... The ad ran as an accident.
Right,
I swear
when you were talking
on my kid's life you said that.
Well, absolutely, and I believe you. But yesterday when you were talking about it, you were saying that my quote was that I placed the ad by accident, which I denied.
All right. Then
that's
let me,
all I was denying.
You know what? You know,
I don't deny your conversation.
Okay, I'm going to let you slide on that, but I want to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think this guy got his information? And I don't, because I don't
he
think
he said from All Access.
Okay. What is All Access? A website?
One of those websites.
Oh, okay.
Gossip.
So when the statement was made that they got it from our show, that's incorrect also. If we exonerate you.
But that's cool. No, that's fine. I'm just saying the rumor was out there, so I don't know where it came from.
The rumor, what rumor was out there?
The rumor about Ron and Fez.
What rumor about Ron and Fez?
All the assorted rumors about their potential move.
Okay, but the thing is, it was indicated to us that they got that this ad ran
because
Don saying something on the show, and that's absolutely not true.
Okay, well, that's fine. But I'm saying
not that's fine. That has been reported. That rumor was out there. On, what do I say? FMQB.com?
I mean, it was the rumor mill was generated long before Don said anything on the show.
Sure. No, and if I said that, I apologize too.
Okay.
So you do admit when you came down here that, do you or do you not remember the conversation where you said...
I talked to Rob after the show, and I remember discussing the ad, but all I was denying yesterday was your statement that I regretted placing the ad, which I never did.
No. Not that you were...
No, wait. We've reached a conclusion here.
No, absolutely.
Cameron, I believe, did not run the ad. I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
But I also believe that the ad was not in there because of something that Don said on the show. And you've acknowledged that, Cameron.
Absolutely.
All right.
Okay, then what about yesterday? Here's this is my only issue, Mike.
What?
Is that the guy came down here a month ago and I asked him about this and he said, his quote was, the ad ran as an accident. As a matter of fact... Not only did you say that it ran as an accident, you said it ran as an accident in the Columbia or Connecticut School of Broadcasting. I'm not sure which.
Is that?
You even said the name of a trade magazine, which is not the one that we're reading the ad out of, that the ad ran by mistake in that trade.
What about that, Cameron?
No, I was just piecing it together from information I received the day before.
Was there an ad that ran in the Connecticut School of Broadcasting?
No. They put out a sheet to their people of potential jobs, and according to CSB, Alex... found out for us, according to CSB, they reprint stuff that appears in the on-air tip sheet.
Oh, okay. All right. So they took that on-air
tip
sheet.
They took that wrong information and sent it out to all their people.
All right. Okay.
Uh-huh. So, but you do remember when you came down and said that an ad ran as a mistake.
I vaguely remember that, yes.
Vaguely remember.
That's all we're going to get.
That's, you know, our program director, that's as much as we're going to get.
That's as much as we're going to. And we are not culpable for this ad.
No, and you know, I'm wondering...
None of us are.
No, hold on. I think you guys are. You're dopes. You're dopes the way you negotiate contracts.
I don't negotiate contracts.
Just like you're dopes when you did our contract.
I didn't negotiate your contract.
Well, I know, because you're worthless, because you're a program director. All right, at least we're agreed that you don't have anything to do with that process. But the people who have something to do with that process are dopes. They really are. they screw it up every time. And I don't care what you do with the other disc jockeys, except when I think the other disc jockeys might be giving us the cold shoulder because maybe they got the impression that we said something that turned into this gigantic firestorm when in reality we didn't do it. And as far as I know, nobody on our team, meaning you or the jackass down the hall, went to those guys to say, hey, this is not about Don and Mike. You didn't do that. And I know you've had conversations with Ron and Fez about their contract because you're negotiating it with them now.
Well, don't say the universal we. I don't.
All right, but you know, seriously.
I understand what you're saying.
Do you understand what our concern is?
I certainly do.
And can you do something?
And you understood mine yesterday.
But can you do something about our concern now?
Okay.
About the fact that they might be concerned that this entire ad situation was a result of something said on this show?
They already know.
They already know.
It's all set.
Hmm. Really, how do they already know?
Because I told them yesterday, when I got the email from the tipsy people, I told them it was all a big misunderstanding.
All right.
So do they know that you're the dumbass and Alan's the dumbass?
How exactly are we the dumbass?
Well, you have to take that bullet.
Someone has to be the dumbass. Is these guys' careers, somebody has to be the dumbass.
How's that going with them? I mean, you must be aware of how it's going with them, out of curiosity.
I mean, they have a lot of fans out here, and I understand they don't want to talk about it.
How would you characterize, you can speak on the record or off the record, or you can, give the Fifth Amendment deal.
I'll defer to my leader on that.
Defer to your leader. Who's your leader, Alan?
Yes.
That's a hopeless tribe.
Yeah, hopeless tribe.
You got no chance. You're never getting off the island with him. Yeah. He's your fearless leader, Christ.
Well, it sounds like you have exonerated us as far as being in any way responsible for this ad. And technically, if this little tip sheet gets their information from other websites, then we are exonerated as well.
Do you have a comment about the other thing, about the thing that's on DCR TV?
What thing?
What thing? Like you guys don't read that thing every day?
I swear I don't.
You're a liar.
I swear. I'm not going to lie to you. I swear to God, I don't read that.
Here's the deal. At least I said to you the other day about this website, DCRTV,
mm-hmm.
I said, I try not to go there. And it's really been my New Year's resolution not to go there.
Okay.
I don't need to see like 8 million people writing that our show stinks. And,
right.
You know, I don't need to see it. But I look at
I'm being replaced.
But I look at it, and, you know, it's embarrassing. When Michael Hughes writes stuff to this guy that runs a website telling him that his information was wrong, which was incidentally about you,
right.
The guy put on a website that you're getting fired, and the next thing you know, Michael Hughes, who you would think has more important things to do, he's a vice president, he sends an email to the guy at the mm-hmm. website saying, incidentally, I'm not firing Cameron. It says on there today that Ron and Fez are going to be on in Baltimore after us on Live 105.
Hey, you know anything about that?
Nope.
Wouldn't that be exciting?
That might indicate that they may have...
That's a good question Buzz brings up, Cameron. Wouldn't that be exciting?
I think it'd be a great idea.
Wow.
You know, they all have different styles, but once they get the position, ladies and gentlemen, they all turn into reptiles, and I mean reptiles. And Cameron,
you know,
you're upholding a great tradition.
Thank you.
You know, we get the wrap around here, and we're trying to fix this. Trust me, Cameron, we're trying to fix it. We're moving our office downstairs, trying to get things right here. You guys just don't help us. You don't friggin' help
us. Yeah, we need help. Give us more help, okay?
Okay.
Seriously. I mean, and how are you going to help us?
You ask me for help, and it's yours.
Well, how are you going to help us?
How are you going to help us?
How are you asking for help?
No! Wrong answer!
I support you guys 24/7, 365.
I don't care about you supporting us. We don't need your support. We're self-sufficient.
Then you don't need my help.
We're moving our offices down here. We inter-office image makeover.
Yes!
That's how we need help.
But what do you need my help with?
We've discussed it because you hold the puppet figure of program director.
Yes.
Because the people in this building who don't know how things work actually think that you have something to do with the decision process.
Foolish them.
As you have just proven, you have nothing to do with the decision progress process unless that's, you know, again, some scheme that you're conjuring up.
Here you go, Cameron. You want a directive?
Yes, sir.
Here's a directive.
Yes.
Use all your powers and all your powers of persuasion and all your powers.
Powers.
To
Austin Powers.
You know, to help our rap among the employees here. That's what I'm asking you.
You know,
anything you can come up with.
Now listen, here's the thing. We got
that it's done. It's a
we've been through the thing with people with the don't look at us, don't talk to us, don't make eye contact with us. So we're moving our office.
Incidentally, since the whole office thing, I sense that changing.
Yes,
which
so
is,
do
which
I.
is good.
Yeah. So now we're moving the office and we're telling people don't believe what management has told you. You know, I mean, listen, and let's not get crazy. You know what I mean? Say hello, but let's limit it to that.
Right.
But, you know, certainly, come on, say hi. Let's get to know people.
Yeah, I mean, we don't need an hour-long conversation.
Friendly, okay, Chef, not too friendly.
But we want to, you know, we want to reconnect with the people here if they want to reconnect with us. You know, the people that work here.
I think they do. I know they do.
Ed, well,
it's going to be a better, fun place.
I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be very exciting.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, you might want to start with the two guys that are on after us. I mean, I don't know what other way to do it than to say it on the radio. Than to say, yesterday we spent an hour talking about Ron and Fez and how we thought they were getting screwed over. How we think you're screwing us over. I turned the radio on, I don't hear a word from them last night. And I guess it's, I don't know, because they're still hearing stuff from you guys, like, well, I don't know, Don and Mike are saying on their show you're going to Tampa Bay. I don't know.
Yeah, we like that. You know, I think it's fair to give them a, you know, little...
But you just tell them, you want to be on the team. We want them to be on the team. God, they don't have to come in and do a friggin' bit with us every day. We don't want that. But how about a hello? And the reason I think that we don't get the hello, besides the fact that they're working a split shift,
mm-hmm.
is the fact that they got this thing built into their head. You know, they got this thing built in there that, for whatever reason, you know, we're not behind them. And that's perpetuated by dopes like you.
How do I perpetuate this?
By not immediately telling them a month ago that we had nothing to do with any ad going in a trade.
I think you're thinking too much about it. No one ever said you did.
Well, we just if the original message can be digested here, it's that we want some help.
And incidentally, it was inferred.
We're doing our part. We want you guys to.
It was inferred yesterday by you and your tribal leader.
Yes.
That the reason that the whole thing got out there was because we made a comment on our shows.
Cameron, it really was. You know
so
it really
don't
was.
Say that. Don't say, well, no, it wasn't like that. Because it was.
I mean, maybe you took care of it last night, but
okay,
prior
that's
to
a fair
that.
Point.
All right, good.
All right, dude.
All right.
Anyway.
All right, have a happy day.
How you feeling about your job?
Tentative as always.
Tentative as always?
Every day. Have you gotten a reassurance? Have you gotten a vote of confidence?
Yes.
All right, good.
Really?
Good.
Who gave you a vote of confidence?
Many of my peers.
Really? Who's
your peers or what about your superiors?
Them too.
That's your peers.
That's secondary.
Did Jag come up and say, we're really behind you?
Jag and Coletta, way behind me.
They're good people.
How long really do you think you'll be here in this job?
I don't know. I'm counting the days.
You think you'll make it through the calendar year?
The calendar year?
You think you're going to make it through the year 2004?
I do not know.
You think there's a...
Cameron, if I can give you a piece of advice just on my observations, and certainly with the recent developments in other markets around the country,
mm-hmm.
Don't do your job real, real well. If you just like wallow,
according to Don, I don't.
But that's good. That's a good thing then. If you
that
just wallow,
you're gonna get a nice big promotion.
Mediocrity is rewarded around.
Then I will continue to suck.
All right, then we will close this issue.
Excellent.
We're done. We're done with this. With the whole goddamn thing about the ad.
Who needs a drink?
Me.
For the record, what is your name?
Cameron Gray.
Might as well go back to the old Jag.
Yeah. All right, Cameron. Keep taking your pills.
Thank you, Cameron.
Goodbye.
Bye. There he goes.
There he is.
He handled himself as well as can be expected.
Idiot program director.
Idiot program director, and I'm trying to think of the name. Oh, it finally came.
Hi, I'm Cameron Gray, operations director.
There it is. There he is. Cameron Gray. Hello, wow. Rich. Don and Mike show. Here's if Cameron's listening upstairs. These are words, I believe, that are going to make his ears bleed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dear.
Rich?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, is it me, or with every conversation on the radio that Cameron Gray has, he sounds more and more like a gentleman named Jeremy Coleman?
You are... Give him a prize. I was thinking that as we were talking to Cameron. It was remarkable.
It's harsh.
It's very scary.
I don't think it's harsh.
I know.
It's scary.
And it's going to mean a lifestyle change.
Oh, God.
My friend. Well, because, you know, Cameron is a hard worker and Jeremy is more laid back.
Right, exactly.
Jeremy enjoys his time.
I
like Cameron, who's
in
24 hours a day.
Of course.
Listen, for identifying that fact that Jeremy and Cameron are very much alike.
Very scary.
You have won the Sex of the City Part 1 DVD. It's a box set now available on video and DVD. Sex of the City, the complete 6th season, Part 1. That's from HBO. And thank you for listening.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, thanks.
Not that there's anything wrong with being laid back.
Yeah. Seriously, I look forward, and this is, maybe I even shouldn't ask for this, but
what?
Wouldn't you love one of them just to like scream a little bit, scream and yell a little bit?
Freak
like,
out, flip out.
You know, like, yeah. I did it! You're wrong! Don't call me a liar! Just once. Those days are gone. Goodman used to do that.
So did Stevens.
Once in a while.
Stevens.
Stevens really did it.
And I love referring to him now just his last name. He's no longer Ken Stevens. Now he's just Stevens. When Stevens was here, you'd have to poke him and prod him and bother him.
Right.
really? I'm okay just mentioning the name.
Gets you all choked up.
The magic of Ken Stevens was that if he was a scat...
God damn, what is wrong with me?
Uh-oh,
okay, the legs.
You would... Pick and pick and pick it, Ken.
And then finally he would absolutely explode.
Better. Yeah, better. That was the magic of it.
Oh, here you go. Here's the tape of Ken one time. He's
good.
He was just chilling out and telling us he's not. And then he finally said,
I'm not!
That was great.
That's it. Ken, excuse me, Stevens.
I'm not!
Stevens out.
That was delightful.
It was.
Stevens losing control.
He.
Unlike Gray. Coleman lost control.
I'm not!
Coleman lost control quite often.
Did he really?
In private, though.
In private. Yeah. Don't you remember the private? I cannot have you acting like this at my radio station.
You know what he would love to do? He'd love to throw things.
I don't think I saw him do that.
Oh, I saw him. He was a stapler one time.
Oh, I saw him
really?
Throw a stapler, too.
Yeah.
I guess it was handy.
You know, I was always late.
And I was surprised. Yeah. He's kind of like Mr. Burns. I was surprised that he had the strength to pick the stapler up.
Smithers, rehydrate me.
That was another great one from Sunday night. Smithers said, Burns goes, I will squash Homer Simpson like a bug, or Lisa Simpson like a bug. And there was a bug, and he tried to squash him.
He couldn't do it.
But he wasn't strong enough.
The bug pushed back.
Yeah, the bug knocked him down. Yeah. You know what? We need the absinthe guy in here.
Yeah.
And Buzz, this is your buddy. This is
Jacob.
The original absinthe guy.
Right. He lives in Prague, Czechoslovakia.
And he's brought a supply.
Met him out in the lobby. Seems like a nice guy.
He's got the real stuff. He's got what, like the absinthe light. He's got the stepped on stuff. He's got absinthe.
He's got regular absinthe. And he's got my personal favorite, the souped up super ethyl absinthium.
Absinthe. Now,
Mike, you don't like the absinthium?
Well, that's Buzz made that cocktail, and I just maintain that the first time we tried it. Are we on number three here? Is this the number three absinthe show?
Yes.
I maintain.
And it's not a full blown absinthe show, but
right? Well, it's a half of one.
Try the absinthium this time. Try the pure absinthium this time.
Okay.
And he was kind enough to bring me some plum wine.
Yeah, very good. Yes, he's just full of booze.
Plum wine.
It's very exciting. Brandy, isn't it?
Yeah, you're. Forgive me. It is brandy.
Where's my plum wine?
Plum wine.
With my plum wine and my Sam Harris album. Okay, we got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The world's finest surfers showed up today to do battle with what's turned out to be the biggest waves to hit this coast since 1946. Hello, everybody. I'm Stu Nahan. I'd like you to meet this young man. His name, Jeff Spicoli. And, Jeff, congratulations to you. Things look kind of rough out there today.
Well, I'll tell you, Stu, I did battle some humongous waves. But, you know, just like I told the guy on ABC, danger is my business.
You know, a lot of people expect that maybe Mark Cutback Davis or Bob Jungle Death Gerard would take the honors this year.
Oh, those guys are fast!
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Yes, company.
Get out of here, Curtis. I don't hear you unless you knock.
Hello.
Trying desperately to give the human spirit some credit. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
What was that promise that you made? Why won't you tell me? She says.
Oh, that's a great one.
Promise that you made. I love the Doors.
Yeah.
And I love the Doors because my dad hated them so much. And when they were on Ed Sullivan. And I remember when they were on doing Touch Me, and they had violins yes. and a cello player, and that pissed my dad off even more.
Really?
But there was Jim Morrison.
What do they need this for?
There was Jim Morrison up there, obviously high, got his pants pulled down, the crack of his butt going, you know, and the way he sang that, where he was always looked like he was in a coma.
Right, you know, exactly.
I mean, just absolutely.
Holding the microphone.
What was
that promise that you made?
And I'm digging on him like 11 years old, yeah. digging on, and here's my dad going, oh, now, what are they doing here? Because the musicians all had short hair. The musicians... How's your microphone, Mike?
It's great, Don. What were the musicians all what?
The musicians all looked like Wendell Hall, our engineer.
Short hair.
They had very short hair. Is there someone who can help you with that microphone once and for all? I mean, because every day... What is it?
No. Here's the deal. Somebody's coming in... And doing a whole day. It's never happened before, but every night, I think it's changing. I don't know. Or every day or something. I mean, what's happening.
What is the problem?
Well, the problem there was that it had come loose because of a lot of adjusting. And
see, there's a cord that goes...
That has nothing to do with the cord. It just has to do with this.
What is this, though?
You say this little pipe that screws into the boom mic, and this is the mic stand.
Yeah.
And it was coming loose, and it was going to fall, and that's why I had to adjust it.
So who should...
not a problem.
Who should fix
nothing
it?
Nothing I'm going to really worry about.
Who should fix it? Who should fix it?
I know who should fix it.
Winner!
The man that's out in the lobby.
The absinthe guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
That'll fix
all
it.
All right, bring it.
That's who's going to fix it.
Fixes everything.
Bring him in.
You know, it's a mic stand, and every day it's like turned into something special.
Bring in the absinthe guy.
Jacob. No problem at all.
Boy, you're steamed.
I'm steamed.
You should let it go. Every day, somebody is screwing with this microphone. Every single day. And the problem
is...
It's
the only piece of equipment outside of my headphones and my chair. I have three pieces of equipment, and every goddamn day, somebody comes in here and messes around with this.
And again, for those who can't see what you're doing with your
hands... I'm playing with the boom mic right here.
This is what? You're talking about what?
In that particular time, because there's been... And it's still not quite right. It's just, you know... I was worried that it was going to fall because it's been... Jerry-rigged so many times. But now I'm fine. I just got that off my chest.
Okay, Don.
You're right. I was a little
steamed. I'm glad you did.
I was a little steamed.
I'm glad you got it off your chest.
You know. I mean, I am a lot of things at this radio station. But one thing, when it comes to the technical aspect of doing this program,
yes,
I am not a demanding person. I do not require a lot.
No, you need a comfortable chair. You
comfortable
need a microphone.
Microphone and my headphones working. I'm done. I'm it. I don't need a computer. I don't need anything. I 7 years ago I asked for a telephone that doesn't work. I can't make outgoing phone calls on it. That's okay. I don't even complain about that. That's all right.
I didn't know your phone didn't work.
I'm pretty sure it doesn't work. On the 444 line.
Yeah.
When I normally, you know, make phone calls out, I don't think I can do that anymore.
Oh well.
Here. And I think that's been.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
And I'm sorry about your microphone.
How often do I make a phone call, outgoing phone call, when I'm in the studio?
Never.
Not so much.
Okay, well, but
so it's not a big deal, so I don't even complain about
but
that.
But the microphone is a big deal.
Microphone's number one.
Okay.
You know, and you know what I do? I mean, I'm constantly doing little adjustments on it and stuff, and I need a little, it's got to have a little play in it, little flexibility. Look
there
at that.
There you go.
That.
This is the guy with the bottles.
Look at
I think
at
you
that.
Came at the right time, my friend. And now, where are you from? Prague?
Yeah, I'm living in Prague, Czech Republic.
Living in the Prague.
I like the music.
Living in Prague-ville.
Look at all these different colors.
Now, this guy's name is Jacob. Buzz, how do we know this guy, Jacob?
Well, Jacob emailed and also sent us and mailed to us some bottles of absinthe. Did it before, and he's brought more with him today.
Now, you've got several different bottles there, right?
I've got two different kinds here. I've got the Absinthium 1792, and
the
one that's exclusive for our website that Mike liked a lot was the Green Fairy.
And now the Green Fairy is the goods, as far as I'm concerned.
Now, what is your website, Jacob?
It's www.greenfairy.org.
Now, is this legal to order the stuff in the United States?
Yeah, as long as you're ordering it from outside of the United States.
Yeah, it is legal to order it outside the United States. You just
Mike
you
is can't. Clutching that the way Susan Lucci clutches her Emmy Award.
You can't. And a nicer bottle, a little more modern bottle than the last bottle you sent with this stuff.
We changed bottles. It's a bit of a smaller size, but...
All right, now, what about the stories I've heard?
Goes a long way.
What about the stories I've heard, Jacob? That if you take this absinthe, you drink it, like, you're killing your brain cells at an incredible rate. Like, ecstasy laughs at you because you're killing so many brain cells by drinking this. And can you really go mentally crazy by drinking absinthe?
Well, you might cut off your ear, but no.
And those are the old days when it had the wormwood cause.
Well, it still actually has worm in it. Yeah. Both of these have quite a bit compared to most of the other absinthe.
Now, who besides Marilyn Manson is famous for drinking this?
Van Gogh. Picasso.
Burbank. No, Rob, it's mine.
Napoleon.
You can't.
Mike, why are you really. You're grasping onto that like you were grasping
make
onto
real,
the microphone.
I want to make it real clear to everybody in this studio that of all those bottles there, this sucker right here.
May I see it for a moment? I swear to God, I'll give it back to you.
I'll let Rob see it first because Rob wanted to see it, and then you can bring it
just
over.
I just want to see why you like it so much.
No, that's actually the stuff that we had in here that one time. That one time that it was a little goofy in here.
And the other time...
It's a new bottle. That's a new bottle.
Now, of all these bottles that you brought, Jacob, which one is the most potent? Which one is the one that will just knock you on your ass like absinthe should?
The one I gave to Mike, it's the...
Bingo!
It's the
thank you.
It's quite a bit stronger than the absinthe.
Buzz, there are a few things I know. There are a few things I know that I know.
So you only brought one bottle. You only brought one bottle of the high octane stuff.
Yeah, because everybody else said they liked the absinthium better. So
okay, Jacob, let me ask you this: it's stronger how? It's stronger in alcohol or stronger in thujone?
Well, actually, both. It's got 73% alcohol.
What is thujone?
The thujone is the active ingredient, the THC-like ingredient in wormwood.
Thujone.
THUJONE.
Let me see if there's actually any wormwood in that bottle. Because in the other one there was some wormwood. There's no. Is there?
This one doesn't come.
Thujam. Thujone.
Okay. But absinthium is high in thujone and tastes better, I think.
Yeah, the absinthium is also high in thujone. It's not as high as
thujone. From Entertainment Tonight. Cujo.
Now, Rob.
Oh, no. Cujo is a scary guy. Cujo is from Entertainment Tonight.
Somebody brought in some sugar, and you have these little wacky spoons. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What is the whole ritual with the spoons? Because, you know, it's interesting.
Well, there's actually two. There's the way the Czechs drink it now, which is with fire and sugar.
Fire and sugar?
Yeah.
They explain.
They have a slotted spoon like this, and
yes.
They put a sugar cube on top of it. Then they dip the sugar cube in the absinthium, or the absinthe, and they light it on fire. They let it caramelize. It drips down into the absinthe, stir it, and then shoot it.
Why? Why would you caramelize it? I mean, you caramelize onions.
Well, you're really melting the sugar is what you're doing.
Yeah, just dissolve.
So that the sugar dissolves.
Because it's very bitter, the regular
yeah,
absinthe
is bitter.
Yeah,
the one Mike has is incredibly bitter.
So Mike, could you open that one up and just give me a little bit of it?
Sure.
Please. I mean, if what Mike has now, Buzz, give me the argument why your stuff is better than what Mike has.
The guy, he's just settled the argument,
right? That's true.
The argument is no longer an argument.
The stuff that Mike has now in his hand is stronger, apparently, both in alcohol and in Thujone or in
wormwood. I have a theory, and I don't mean to, you know, impugn the integrity of my distinguished colleague across the hallway.
Uh-huh.
But I'm going to tell you that I believe that when he brought in that concoction that he made, he saved the good stuff for himself.
Actually, just the opposite. I wanted to bring the good stuff, and there was so little of it, I tried to stretch it, expand it by adding regular...
When you say the good stuff, it's this green fairy stuff?
Well, I know. To me, the good stuff is absinthium because it tastes better.
Oh, okay. So it's a flavor issue.
I added regular...
Get a long way with booze.
I added what you have now...
Why don't we get some pink squirrels in here, huh?
To the absinthium.
How about some Brandy Alexanders? Yeah, that'll be fun.
How about a mint julep?
Sure.
Give me an apple martini.
Sure someone heard me.
I heard you, Buzz. I listen to you, Buzz. I hear what you... I have headphones on.
Yes, I appreciate that.
I hear everything.
I can see that.
Trust me. I hear everything. Left channel, right channel. It's like Wayne's World. Left camera, right camera, left camera, right camera.
It's very well sealed, I'll tell you that.
And why is this drink so popular, Jacob?
I guess because it has a much different effect than regular alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Gives you clear-headed... drunkenness and some creativity.
And are you a big player in the absinthe market?
Oh, the biggest.
You are the biggest.
No.
You're the Donald Trump of absinthe?
I'm going to open up this little sucker now.
Here we go. All right, Mike, go ahead.
Ah, there you go.
Well, how does it smell?
A very... I talked into the bottle. I really didn't. I haven't had any yet. A very... You know, would it be like anything else... You either like the stuff or you don't.
Yeah, that's exactly.
And you know what? It's got a very warm smell to it.
Yeah.
But it really does.
You do warm up to it. The first time I had absinthe, I couldn't even drink it.
Mm-hmm.
Now I love it.
And the first time I had it...
With your cornflakes, what?
I do.
The first time I had it, I mean, out of the bottle, I liked it.
Right.
Okay, well, the decision is this... Do we want to get there to that point today on
Well, I mean, there's not that much time left in the show, but I see no reason why we can't have a taste.
We have a little toast.
I would like to do one thing. I would like to see him prepare it.
Yeah.
Like they prepare it, and I think we all ought to try, what do you think, this stuff?
The absinthe, sure.
Because this is the bitter stuff.
That's the one you're going to need the sugar for.
Okay. Well, but I drank this without sugar.
Have a sip of it now.
Jacob, would you... Over ice is what I mean. I like to chilled.
All right. Try that.
Well, Buzz, are you challenging me?
No, I just think Mike needs to taste it without sugar and also with sugar.
I've had this at my house.
Hold on.
I have a bottle of the green fairy at my house.
Hold on. Right. I'm sure the warden's on the phone. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Drinking Alone and now drinking on air.
Hi, honey. I'm just going to have a taste of it.
No, I remember, until recently, you never did this little on-air experiment. Now it's been, what is this, like the
regular
third
time? It's the third time. This is the third time, but I've never gotten wasted.
Technically the second time for you.
For me, it's only the second. Yeah. I didn't do it the first time.
Be the third time for me. And, Frida, I think the only reason we're doing this, these shows have been very highly reviewed.
No, I disagree.
I don't want to get
that. Bad reviews on the second drinking show in which...
What about if Don puts a blindfold on?
If my husband doesn't drink, if you have somebody...
Yeah. Honey, listen, I had
then it's good.
Okay, listen to me. I have a sip. I'm going to get bombed. No one's going to get bombed today. I'm large and in charge.
I just think this is, first of it's the drinking by yourself every night. I don't want to,
If we're going to discuss alcohol, let's remember... Oh, this tape.
Two teams. Can we lie? Can we fill in 15? No, all right. I don't even remember what it was. No. I got hiccups.
That's you, darling.
You know why I had the hiccups after two drinks? Because I don't drink regularly.
Right, I do.
I know.
And now you're
drinking on air regularly.
You know, what's great is this is just kind of a familiar... thing
hey,
that used to have when there was nudity on the
did
show.
You hear about Buzz pushing his wife off the ladder?
I did it.
Buzz, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding you, Buzz.
I know. I'm having a hard time wrapping my mind around my sweet Buzz doing something like that.
No, he did not.
It was an accident.
He absolutely did not. We're kidding him.
He fell.
And she's fine.
Uh-huh. Now, hey.
I'm trying to help you out.
I'm willing to give Buzz the benefit of the doubt. If it had been one of you other guys, you'd be guilty.
All right, Mommy. Well, I'll be a good boy. I love you. I'll see you later.
Don't drink, my darling. Really.
I'll see you. Love you.
Really? really, since you don't have the naked girls anymore, this seems to be like your new outlet.
Hey, you think?
Yeah.
we need
it might be the new outlet mall.
Yeah. Let the other guys do that, and you
God.
The ship.
Whipped, I am. Whipped. But, you know, the truth is... Okay, honey, I love you.
The truth is I'm right.
The truth is I love
you. That's why you don't want to hear it. All right, CP.
All right, goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye. I'd like to borrow my ladder.
Oh, Buzz. That was Buzz.
Wow.
No, you know, see, what she's all she's repeating is stuff that I've said to her.
Uh-huh.
And that... Really, what I really think is, you know, we can't all get bombed, because right. Then the show really just goes to hell.
Well, I disagree.
Well, go ahead. Have a sip. Tell us how it is, Mike. I didn't even plan to get bombed today. I'm just going to have a toast.
Right.
I can have a toast. Give me a toast.
All right, now I'm gonna yield to you.
Uh-huh.
It's a little bitter. But he's going to do the sugar thing, and wow. That, I believe...
This is more bitter than the last one I had. The last one seems... really.
You know, why would that be?
Jacob...
Oh, hold on, Jacob.
What's that?
Did you make what?
Did you drink something else before?
I don't know, but you're absolutely right. This is so bitter.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. It's really hard to drink without sugar.
Right.
You know, but boy, maybe that's the stuff we drank the
first time.
That's why I like the absinthium.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Now you're gonna ping pong back the other way with Buzz now?
Yeah, because this is not the stuff that I drank the very first time. Then when Buzz brought in the concoction,
uh-huh.
which was the second time,
right? That was a mixture of absinthium and absinthe.
I don't know. I'm having trouble remembering.
The good news is now that you agree with Buzz, you're safe to climb a ladder. No accidents for Mike.
But you know what? Hey, I'm not even drinking that because it does need the sugar. Yeah. Do you agree that it needs the sugar?
Yeah, I can't drink it without sugar.
Okay. Now, we'll like it better with the sugar?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
All right, well, Jacob, prepare a toast, please, and we're going to go to break.
Okay, and will you have one with the sugar?
I'll let you know, Mike.
Okay.
Just
do me a favor. Don't do the thing where, like, you pick up the glass and then... You don't?
Because I did that the first time, and I did that even without my wife. I wish my wife wouldn't call in.
I think really.
You know, because here's the thing. Are you listening, Frida? I was just taking a toast. Now you made me look like less than a man. Now I have to drink. See what you made me do. Get up on that ladder.
Well, that's now, once again, it's another great tease. We're going to see what the result of this is after the commercial.
Oh, unlike the Diana DeGormo thing. That
$100 bet stands to see. I pick Fantasia, you pick Diana.
Right.
And I think I'm taking your money.
I think Diana's got a better chance of winning than I do of getting drunk today. I mean that.
And what is your... It's Jacob?
Mm-hmm.
Jacob, you're sitting in here in the middle of all this. It's pretty thrilling, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Very exciting watching the show happen.
This is where the magic happens.
The moment-by-moment progression. Can you feel the energy?
No? Oh, yeah, I feel it.
Can you smell the B.O.?
It smells great.
It's in here. Now, Mike, you're having more of the unadulterated, unfiltered stuff.
Yeah.
I'm
bitter.
You're bitter. Okay, we're gonna break. Jacob, if you would go do the you know, the thing that flips me about this is like the burning of the spoon.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't that... It's like what Christopher does on The Sopranos.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
But the thing is Christopher doesn't do it with a styrofoam cup.
Right, no, exactly.
No. Okay.
He'll just make it sweeter.
Helps
the medicine
go
down.
Prepare your concoction. Go prepare it.
Give me some sugar.
We've not even...
Because, I mean, this is on ice already. No need to ruin it. Can I see some sugar there? Thanks so much.
So you're just going to put your own sugar
in? What kind of sugar do we have over there? Is that the regular pour kind?
Yeah, that'll make it go quicker.
A little commercial break coming, right?
All right, yeah, so Mike is going to just sugar it up himself.
Right.
Oh, sugar. Oh, honey, honey.
What do you think?
Yeah.
All right, there you go, Mike. Right. You put a hell of a lot of sugar in there.
I did.
You ready?
Makes the medicine. Oh, I'm not going to chug it. I'm going to nurse it during the commercial break that's coming.
Well, would you start nursing now?
I need a spoon just to. Otherwise, I'm going to be. It's going to be like a. Use your finger.
All right.
Hey, you're getting really. You're looking forward to this, aren't you?
You've
done this. This is the third time. Yeah. It's the third time in 2 weeks.
No, it's been longer than that.
Yeah, I know.
3 weeks.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
Maybe a month.
Let's see what the sugar does.
Month
this
tops. Time.
Makes it better, doesn't it?
Yeah, usually there's a bit of water, though.
Give it a try, Mike.
Okay, let's see.
Splash of water.
And what do you think, Mike?
That's a yes. No.
Oh. No, all I heard was a... It was almost like a shemp.
Maybe it was that absinthium Buzz was talking about.
What did shemp do? Do the shemp thing?
That's what it was.
Well, I'm going to try to make this taste good.
Okay, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
A bitter cold night. The Giants, with a victory against the Eagles tonight, could reduce the edge to a half a game. I'm not on camera now. We're in Philadelphia at Franklin Field. The score, the New York Football Giants 13, the Philadelphia Eagles 9.
Who's on absent? Howard Cosell on absent.
Howard,
how's that?
The Don and Mike Show.
Well, now, hold on. There's got to be more than just a
drinking absinthe?
I don't know. Dude lager?
Be a deer and listen to the Don and Mike Show.
There you go. My wife embarrasses me so much. She really does. I mean, I love her.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that now the nudity was gone. I was past the point of her calling in and ordering me and yelling at me to do something.
Yeah, I'm not sure where that came from.
Because the truth is...
What, are you been slopping around the house a little bit? Or what, you know, like knocking over furniture? Or what, you know?
What do you mean?
You don't fancy yourself a problem drinker, do you?
I have no problem drinking.
There you go.
No.
I don't know where that came from. That surprised me a little bit.
Because I always...
Surprised and annoyed me.
It's as you continue to drink. Because I've always proud of myself, I'm large and in charge. And frankly, part of this drink scares me a little bit. Scared me before we had it.
Let me tell you what scares me. We were making that big deal about the fact that I drank this one stuff. And then what I tasted was something totally different. And now I'm drinking the stuff that's... Doesn't taste the same as, and I think I drank the buzz stuff last night.
Anyway, it was not my intent. I knew that Jacob was coming by today. He's been waiting
Jacob
for
could
a
not
hour.
Be, you know, there are a lot of people here, like during the commercial breaks, that you know you get a little hinky about. Jacob's a very cool guy,
yeah,
and a font of information about this mm-hmm. stuff. Amen.
Great,
and Prague, where he informs me the women are ugly,
except your fiance, right?
No, he was. I'm joking. He said the women over there apparently are very. Very strong.
And that's where you met your fiance? Your girlfriend?
I haven't. I just date around a bit.
Oh, you date? Oh.
Good for you, Jacob.
You know, I walked in late on the conversation. I thought
that. Now, he was saying that, and I've heard this from other people, that in Prague, Prague's women are known throughout the world.
Astoundingly beautiful.
It's like the Manassas, Virginia of mm-hmm. that part of the world.
That's right.
Because there are beautiful women throughout Manassas, Virginia.
Absolutely. Many of whom will be at O'Mara's tonight.
Okay.
Because it's ladies' night.
Now I really know that is good stuff.
Hank's Look Around Cafe.
As I will, too. Yes, right. I'm done.
This brings back such good memories.
Anyway, Buzz, Jacob, Mike, let's bring in Joe and Alex Jimenez.
What is the... What is the final decision that you made? Are you going to have a sip or two?
No, and I really wasn't going to before the show today either. Mm. It's just, I hate the fact that my wife... Now it's turned into a game of chicken with my wife. I knew Jacob was going
to come in. Well, really, you're not drinking it, but you ought to have a taste just to see what it tastes like.
I can smell it.
Mm-hmm. You ought to taste it. Hefe's coming in here, and Joe Ardinger.
I can smell it when I walk in.
Hello, Alex. Alex, is Hefe the name you're going by on the show now? Or is it still just Alex?
Oh, what is that for me?
Yeah, no, it's chicken, because you're playing a game of chicken.
Oh, I see.
Mm. I thought that was for me.
Nobody was calling you a chicken.
No, we're
not drinking.
No.
You were.
I didn't say anything. Did you hear me say that?
No.
I'll play the Cameron Gray game here.
But I get to see your face, though, Mike.
You ought to just have a taste.
Why do I have to have a taste?
You don't.
Listen,
you don't have to.
I don't care about my wife.
No, you don't. You don't. And no one's going to think if you don't that you're not having a taste because your wife browbeat you into it.
No, that's crazy talk.
That's silly.
God damn you. God damn you.
No, you know who's saying that right now is if your wife's listening, she's cussing me out right now. This is you look up peer group pressure in the dictionary.
I know.
They have my picture of it in here.
Anyway, you guys have been lighting it like heroin and drinking it. Now, do we have some for...
Well, Jacob did here. Jacob explained that he just poured ice cold water over the sugar, which makes it dissolve, and then it's about... one-third absinthe to two-thirds
water.
Mm-hmm. And you sip it. It's not a shot. You don't knock it back.
I want to say, for the record, it was never my intent to have the drink today.
Exactly.
Although my wife has made me look awful. Now I have to have it just to show her.
Well, you don't have to have the whole thing. You just have a little sip.
You don't have to get drunk.
And you only knock it all back if you like it.
Alex and Joe, go ahead and have some.
I think her only concern was that you got drunk. If you don't get drunk, you should be fine.
Now, come on, where are you?
No, this one.
Yeah, I'll take that one. Thank you.
Oh, you have another one, Mike?
Yeah, I'm going to have the one he made.
Alex, Joe, what do you guys think? You smelling it? Alex, what do you think?
That's better.
I'm getting a little whiff. I'm a little worried, though, because I got to be up real late. How bad is this going to mess me up?
You'll be fine. Come on. How old are you?
26.
Come on.
You'll be fine. Jeez. Hey, baby.
Yes?
I'm getting incredible peer pressure. Now, here's the thing. Here's where you kill me today by calling in. And I love you calling in the show. You call in on any topic you want.
And I love her calling the show, too. I do.
You're happy now.
I do. And you know, on a level that is totally platonic, I'm very fond of
you. But
wife. You
undermine me. You undermine me as a man with my male friends by immediately calling and saying, no, you can't do that, when I had no intention of doing it. I'm simply going to take a sip.
I'm sure you fooled me and fooled everyone else, you know, friends and listeners, that you were going to do it. So how are we supposed to know you're only kidding?
Now, when did I make the grand proclamation that
have you brought home any of this stuff ever before?
No.
Because Jacob gave you some to bring home, and I hope your wife gets a chance to
have
try
I,
it.
You know, no, did I start the show today by saying the absinthe guys come in, boy, I'm going to drink it, I'm going to get loaded, I'm going to get have fun? No.
You didn't say that.
No.
But you didn't tell me when you ate bugs. I mean, just because you didn't say it doesn't...
What, I got to run everything by you, Mommy?
I'm not saying that you do. You're just saying, did you say that? And I said, no. But you don't tell me a lot of things. I don't ask you to run things by me.
Okay, well, so now, just so you understand, it is my decision not to get hammered on the show. But now you have forced my hand. I'm going to have to take a sip.
Well, that is childish. Well, that's the most childish thing you could do.
Just a taste?
Well, now, how do you know that I'm not holding up a diet of vanilla Coke?
Oh, dear, I've spilled a drink. Oh, my God.
Are you asking me how I know?
So you don't know.
I've spilled something here.
I don't know. I don't know anything you do, and you don't know anything I do. I mean, when we're not looking at each other.
Thank you, Alex.
What a grand argument this is.
But that's...
Baby,
what's your position for you on Don just having a little taste?
Well, you know, he can do whatever he wants. He's a grown man. He'll do the thing that he thinks is right without my input.
You know, this has a bit of a... odor to it.
That's where the guilt comes in. He can do whatever he wants.
Nice.
Just he'll do what's right. And I will do what's right, because I'm a good guy.
You're a grown man with a fine head on your shoulders. Yeah.
That's right. I just, you know,
just with a developing drinking problem that I'm not really concerned all that much about.
When did the problem develop? 5 years ago? The drinking problem?
It seems to be escalating, but yeah, that's all right.
How does it seem to be escalating?
How?
Yes.
Because...
Am I falling down drunk?
No, you are usually sleeping.
At about what
time? You don't fall down, you snore.
Oh, and that's why I'm sleeping every night, because I have a drink?
No, and I know the size of your drink.
I use that Andy of Hey. I use that Andy of Mayberry shot glass you got.
All right, very good. All right, then I'm sure you're just fine.
Of course, two shots. Of course, I make it with a double.
Mm-hmm.
I make a double. But she, listen, I'm ultra high functioning.
Wait a minute. How many a night do you have?
One. I have one drink a night. Not every night, but I'll give you 5 nights out of 7 I have a drink. Mm-hmm. Not every night. 5 out of 7.
When's the last night you didn't?
Monday night. That would be Monday night.
Well, that's surprising. I should have noticed.
Why should you have noticed,
because,
Inspector Clouseau?
Because, I mean, it's pretty regular, so I'm surprised I didn't notice that Monday night you did not.
Mm-hmm.
And why didn't you Monday night? Any particular reason?
Didn't feel like it.
Well, very good.
Didn't feel like it.
All right, well
then I'm having trouble buying that. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. This stuff...
The absinthe talking.
Freedom?
Yeah.
Let me share this with you. This stuff makes you feel unbelievably relaxed, and nothing really fazes you.
It's obvious I've not had any yet. Okay, I'm like the most relaxed guy in the room, because my mommy has to call up to say, don't do this, when I really wasn't going to do it anyway.
Sugar Bear, you give me advice all the time. That's all I was doing. And then I let it go.
Just say it, Buzz. Don't mouth it.
Solicit it. I mean, you ask, right?
You just say it with Buzz. Buzz is funny, especially when Buzz has had a drink.
No.
Right.
Buzz is urging me on, and he's going,
yeah.
But just say it, Buzz.
Okay. Solicit. You ask for the advice.
Yeah.
You know, we've all worked.
I often do ask for advice, but he often gives me unsolicited advice.
Oh, I see. If you were here, I bet you'd be joining in with us, though, here.
Well, sure, because I wouldn't be working.
Well, but you see, this is, in some circles, considered entertaining.
You know what? Here's the thing.
Okay, Ed McMahon.
Okay, here's the
thing. Hey, come on. No personal attacks.
I know, but most people, even if it's entertainment, they don't drink, unless the rock stars are Ed McMahon. I could call you. I don't know which rock star to call you. I mean, you know.
Honey, lots of people drink. Not just rock stars. Lots of people
when
drink.
When they're working?
Yes. Yes, go to Sears. Go to Sears someday.
So, do you think that's a good idea? Lots of people beat their wives. Do you think that's a good idea?
No, don't. Let's not go down that road.
Rob, stop applauding.
Rob's applauding that. No, of course, I don't beat you.
Of course you don't.
I'll raise a hand to you. I love you.
Just because a lot of people do something doesn't mean.
And
it's
not like I drink every day on the show. That's what Ed did.
Right. That's exactly right.
Wait, shouldn't you be working and not calling?
Sugar Bear, I'm very busy buying something for my mom on eBay right now. I didn't call you. You called me.
I know, but you called me before. You called me first.
I was on my way home from Home Depot.
You called me.
Now I feel like we're all being disciplined.
Let me just say, fellas,
cheers
to you. To you guys. And darling, to you as well.
Well, you know, I don't know why you called me to rub my nose in it. I tell you, it's not a good idea. I wouldn't have even heard it if you had done it.
There you go. All right. Well, it's done now. It's done now. My God. What am I going to do? I can't control the show. Okay. It's done.
All right.
Love you.
Yeah. I love you, too. And I still respect you.
You what?
I respect you.
She respects you.
No, that means she doesn't respect me. But I've learned to live with that.
All right. Good.
That's one of the trade-offs in this marriage. I've learned to live with your lack of respect for me.
I think anybody listening now would describe what we're hearing as a power struggle.
Yes. And I love you and I respect you.
I do. My respect for you has grown immeasurably over the past, you know, over the time we've been married.
And likewise.
A little setback. I'm sure it'll grow some more tomorrow.
Okay. Listen, if you really want an insight to what my life is really like,
between the lines here.
Yeah, yeah. These are the mind games that she plays with me. I mean, like every day. Not about something stupid like drinking on the radio.
She's
like,
much more subtle with you. In my case, she just called me a name.
I didn't mean that, Mike. Mike, you only said it was I was saying, kind of in the way that you were saying that it's okay to drink at work, and I was saying only at Ed McMahon.
Right, so you're worried about his feelings. My feelings, you trample all over.
No offense taken. It's just a little setback.
Well, Mike doesn't need my respect, darling. I mean, he doesn't even try for it.
You're right about that. Oh, my.
Okay.
Oh, this crazy. Is fun. This All is right. fun. You know, when we've had occasions to go out socially, this is what it's like when Frieda and I are together socially, too. So that's fun.
Absolutely. All right, darling.
All right, enjoy yourself, my baby.
I'm done with it. I did what I was going to do. I did my post. That's it. I'm not out of my mind.
If you think that's the right thing to do, very good.
Well, yes, it is the right thing to do.
All right. You're
I also
right.
thought it was the right thing to do for Buzz to push his wife off that ladder last night.
No, I didn't push.
But I'm kidding, of course.
Of course.
Of course all I'm right. kidding.
Goodbye. Have right. fun.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Have fun on eBay.
There she goes.
Bye-bye.
There she goes.
You know, it's Charlie Ridge what's a hey.
Did you happen to see the most beautiful girl in the world?
Jacob, are you happy that you've caused all this today?
I'm thrilled.
Thrilled.
He's thrilled. So.
He's thrilled.
He's a mellow dude.
All right, yeah. Jacob, you got to get out of here now. We got to do the show.
Have Jacob, fun. And thank you very, very much.
Have fun in Prague. Thank you for listening to the show every day.
When do you go back to Prague?
On the 2nd, I'm going up to Boston next to do a absinthe party for a Boston newspaper.
Okay, very good. Wonderful. You're the man.
Thanks for the real stuff.
Yeah.
And, thanks for the real stuff.
You got anything you want to do? Are we allowed to have him plug anything or we're not?
What's your website?
My website is www.greenferry.org.
There you go.
Good guy.
All right, go there.
Good guy. And you, this is a friend of yours, right?
I consider him so, yes.
There you go.
Greenferry.org. Like, he's almost like Donnie Brasco. He's a friend of yours?
He's a friend of ours.
He's a friend of ours.
There you go.
That. Forget about it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah, I'll take that. Yeah,
thanks, Jacob. We learned a lot. How many bottles are you getting, Mike?
Yeah, I'm just getting two. Just a little two. Jacob, I'll get you my my email address, and we'll communicate. Oh. You and me.
All right, thanks a lot, Eve.
Thank you, Jacob.
Very nice meeting you, Jacob.
Take care.
Make that trip to Prague.
Good luck in Prague.
You and me, pal.
That's it.
Good luck in Prague.
We're off.
Okay. That's it. We've got the stuff. It's the absinthe show, but it's the absinthe show like we planned. Mike,
what?
How you doing?
I'm fine.
See now, Frida, no, are you
fine.
Listening?
I'm fine.
This is what I like. I like being in control and having Mike like he is when we go out. This, for me, is fun.
Amen, brother.
Especially when you do that thing, when you point at me like you just did.
Amen.
Like that, hey, baby.
Amen.
That showbiz thing, baby.
Absolutely.
Because it's you, baby.
That's right.
It's all about you, baby.
It's fantastic. And I think everything worked out for the best.
So do I. Hi, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, turn the radio down, please.
I did.
Yes.
All I got to say is... I gotta hand it to you. Your wife and you are gonna last for a long time, Don.
Yes, I know.
The reason for that is because Frida wants it that way.
Here's another guy. Okay.
Oh, you know what?
With the
that's and then rotten.
And then go ahead and hang up, dummy.
There are ways you can do that, and ways you can't. You know what? I'll tell you. For those of us that are on the other side, you know, how many years you've been married?
124. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey.
Hello. Mike, don't ball your fists up.
Yeah,
buddy.
Pop that.
Hello.
Go ahead and ball your fists.
You're on the air.
Thanks very much. Hey, guys.
Yeah.
Didn't you see Johnny Depp turn into a vapid, burned out waste case from that absinthe stuff in that movie From Hell?
What was the movie From Hell?
From Hell.
Is that what he was doing?
Yeah, he was all messed up. He fell in love with Heather Green, but he couldn't.
That was about Jack the Ripper. A heavier narcotic?
Yeah, he was so locked up in that stuff all the time that he couldn't get to Heather Green in time to save her.
Well, he didn't just have it once every 3 weeks on his radio show.
But wasn't the story buzz that this stuff, like when some of the movies are based on the fact that this stuff had certain properties that really whacked people out in the day?
In the olden days, it was made with really bad moonshine, and that poisoned people, and that's what made them insane. This product doesn't do that.
This what?
This product.
How's Jeremy Piven doing, Buzz?
He's my favorite actor, that Jeremy Piven.
Don and Mike show, hello.
So I'm like, hey, want to let you know that Martha Stewart is actually, this is a true story, she has a huge collection of absinthe spoons. She's a big collector.
Yeah, I bet she does.
I kid you not.
Thank you. Hello.
She collected the bottles. She'd be more interested.
Maybe she'd be able to bring him to prison with her.
Hello.
Yeah, call him Don and Mike.
Yeah, you're talking to us. Hello there.
Hey, guys. I'll tell you, if you're going to be partying with your boys here, you can't have your wife involved. It's like taking your wife to a football game or to a poker match.
Hey,
strip club.
Hey,
buzzkill, Don. Come on, get with the program, buddy.
Hey, it's a buzzkill. Hey, first off, I do take my wife to a football game. My wife has been to a strip club. And third, all the other guys are getting drunk. Dude, I didn't want to, even though my wife said not to. Get off my ass.
Hey. Anyways, Buzz, Mike, you guys got it going on.
Yeah.
Bad Don can't party with you properly.
Yeah, you're a real man. How about Rob? Rob, how come you're not drinking, Rob?
Well, because I'm a pussy, Don.
Yeah. No, you're not, Rob.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
No, you are not.
Hello.
Don't let anybody tell you that.
Just another word for designated driver.
Right. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Come on.
Hey, I was wondering if you're going to have absinthe in the next DVD CD-ROM that you're putting out.
Yeah.
That's right, Mike. That's good.
Free bottle of every disc.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I just wanted to say the reason why absinthe was bad for you back in the day, but isn't now. They used to think it was wormwood that made it poisonous, but it used to be stored in copper kettles, and copper is extremely toxic.
Listen,
I'm
not even buzzing.
I like that, though. I'm interested in that.
Oh, you are?
I'm
not.
It was stored in copper kettles, and the copper made it poisonous.
That's correct.
Oh, very cool.
Well, there you go.
That's a neat factoid.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, what's up, Don and Mike?
Yeah, you're talking to us. Hello.
Hey, buddy.
How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Hey, Mike, have you been out in your boat lately?
What's that?
Have you been out on your boat lately?
Yeah. Yeah, why?
Well, I'm just wondering, because I boat down there, and I wonder if you can single-man water ski behind it like the Grease Man does.
Yes.
Hey, buddy.
Single-man water ski.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
On the SSO.
Oh, we got to take a break. Hello.
Good ship O.
The good ship O.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
America.
In America. Yeah, hi.
Hello?
I'm in America right now.
Oh, you're on the air. What's happening here? Where's the guy?
You call her. Are you there? Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey. Okay.
Hey, Don, don't worry about what they're...
I don't worry about... Can I let you in on a secret? I don't worry about what any of you little brains think. You're all listening to the show. That's all I care about.
And that's the exact point.
Thank you.
By the way...
Goodbye. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And by the way...
Take a call. Cape California. Hello.
Hi, Larry.
Hi.
Don Imus. How you doing today? Love your radio show. Can you tell me what happened to Don and Mike in New York City? If they're not on live anymore?
Are they back on? They were taken off for a while. Are they on or not on the air in New York, Don?
Don and Mike?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know whether they're on or not.
Well, Don and Mike are on. They're on in Washington, right? Don and Mike.
I think that's where they originated from, you know.
Yeah. Las Vegas, hello.
The Don and Mike Show.
Now operating with a 7-day delay. The Don and Mike Show.
Did you see him on MSNBC last night?
Who, Mike?
Don Imus with his wife and child.
Seen him on the Larry King Show before. How you feeling, pal?
I'm great. You've seen the whole family package?
Yes. That is fast acting tenactin, isn't it?
This stuff?
Yeah. Yeah.
How are you, Buzz?
I think it's going to be a long, long time.
I just told Don during the break. How you doing?
I just got the confirmation from Mike.
How are you? We're chatting casually.
Right.
And I realized in the middle of the conversation
I'm really gone.
It's very powerful stuff. It's wonderful.
We were just shooting the breeze.
Uh-huh.
Mike's got teen people or whatever magazine.
Hey, I don't say this to Rob enough. Rob keeps me like
magazined up.
Magazined up like nobody. I mean, I get everything, all of these, and they're all like the stuff with pulp. Pictures of Paris Hilton getting out of a movie premiere.
So
and it's great. And I look at him, and I'm sitting there as
we're talking, and Mike's reading, and we're talking. And at one point, he just looks up and he says, "Man, I'm gone. This stuff is
man,
good.
Hawaii gets sticky.
It's a hot time in Florida."
Now we've done this before. I have had virtually nothing.
Correct.
Same here.
But so it would speak to what he brought along. I think.
Ooh.
Yeah,
that's exact. It's,
but a good.
Whew.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's see what happens during the news.
We'll be fine.
I know how Mike is. Mm-hmm. I know that Mike will be great for the rest of the show today.
Yeah, I'll be fine.
And no, I mean, not only will you be fine, I mean, you'll be great for the rest of the show today.
Yes, of course I will.
I mean, because it brings out the best in you.
Beyond fine.
And Buzz.
Yes.
As always, we'll see how you do.
I think you'll be pleased.
See, now I don't know. I don't. What did you just say?
I think you'll be pleased.
You know, and this is, we have done this a lot, haven't we?
Well, no,
I hope it's not getting tired.
I'm thinking it.
I sure hope it's not, because, you know, it's kind of fun.
I like watching you guys kick back every once in a while.
Yeah,
have a good
time. We like watching you kick back. The only problem is... You see,
I know my bitch wife, wife.
No, I wasn't going to say that at all.
Don't say that.
I don't care how much alcohol I would have. You do run the show.
Yeah, and I like
being in control.
I'm a control freak. I'm a type A guy.
You like being in control, especially when the red light's on.
Someone should be.
Absolutely. But I love watching you guys party. And I was having this stuff with you the other day. Just today wasn't my day. But
thank you, Jacob.
Who knows? It might be soon. Oh, Rob, turn off that MASH music.
Why are we playing the MASH music?
I don't know. He's
Suicide is Painless. That's the title.
Suicide is Painless.
Oh, for the upcoming bit.
Let me just say...
What are you eating, Rob?
Ham sandwich.
Ham sandwich. Is it that good bread?
Yeah, but it's a little stale.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Whose fault is that?
Rob,
My wife's the cobra.
Out of town, man.
Not yet, she's not, Buzz.
Oh, okay.
Rob brings in the best sandwiches.
Let me mention that tomorrow on the show, everybody's cicada crazy, and Joe Ardinger yesterday came in, the world's oldest phone screener, Joe Ardinger, he came in and he said,
that
Joe.
There you go. Thank you. Said that he had had a tape of himself from 17 years ago, 1987.
Yes.
When he was discovering the cicadas the first time that they attacked the Washington, D.C. area.
At something like 3:42 in the morning.
We don't have time to play you the entire tape today. It's 10 minutes worth of stuff. Today we've been jam-packed. We've not gotten to anything that I wanted to get to. We've not played a game today. We've not listened to the disc jockey tapes. We didn't have Craig Wilson today. I didn't get to tell you about the new CBS Game Network, the Rosie O'Donnell Game Magazine.
The CBS Game Network? What?
Gay Network.
Gay Network.
Someone is stealing Cameron Diaz's panties. Walter Cronkite is going to be on MTV.
That's the way it is.
Some woman, hold on a second, I just got to find this one. Some woman's got a Nazi license tag.
Yes.
South African woman. Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Look at the picture.
I'll have details on some of these.
Look at the picture of this. We got this off the web. Look, Mike. Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Don't close your eyes during the show.
Nazi.
Look at the picture on her license plate.
Man, that's nasty.
Nazi. I had a bunch of stuff I wanted.
Wait, somebody, is that by accident or is she actually?
No, she wanted. Don't have time to tell you the story.
Where is she?
South Africa. Listen, we don't
Of course, that's where the Nazis are in South Africa.
We don't have time for this today. And we've not talked about the final episode of the year of 24. We talked a lot about American Idol.
I will tell you that I'm very surprised at your reaction to the final episode.
I didn't like it. I didn't like it, and here's what I wanted on 24. And you can listen to me with and take a trust of
and print it.
Just take this bit of solace.
All right.
Out of the four guys in here, I'm one of the guys that didn't have a lot to drink.
True.
But I'll say this: no matter what condition I am in, I could have been falling down drunk. I could have been tired. I could have just woken up. I could have had the best day of my life. Either way, no matter what condition I'm in today, that was not a good 24. That was not a good episode, and here's why.
I watched it, but I watched it halfway, and I don't know why you were that upset.
You're going to cut off Chase's arm.
Right.
First off, I want to see it. Now, I know that there's a problem with the Nick Bird beheading, and that maybe it was censored because of that. I'm cool with that.
Okay.
But here's what I didn't like about 24. The ending. They give you hope. Oh, we believe that Nick will regain use of his arm. No, I don't want to hear that.
You don't want hope.
I want to hear...
You want to hear that he sacrificed
Nick,
his hand for humanity.
Not Nick. What's his name? What's the guy's name?
Chase.
I want to hear that Chase is going to be like Dennis Murphy, that he's got no hand. Mm-hmm. And now for 3 years in a row, on 24, there's been some crisis. And other than the one guy getting his face burned off and bad guys getting shot, there's never a major disaster that happens. Now, why are you laughing at me? Because
you want the disaster.
Because why?
I don't know.
Because you've had a couple of drinks.
No, it's not that.
What is it then?
No, you're passionate about your show.
I am, and I don't like to see Kiefer Sutherland crying for the last 5 minutes just to bang us over the head so that we know that...
Why was he so emotional? Why were we meant to believe he was so
a lot? Here's why. Because we're stupid. Because the American people are stupid. And because it has to be shown to us, like on The Sopranos, we have to see... In this 24 hours, Kiefer Sutherland has been through the goddamn ringer.
Yep.
He's been addicted to heroin.
Are we to believe the president legitimately is not coming back?
Correct.
We're not going to see him next year?
Buzz had that on the news yesterday. All these characters are gone.
The show will suffer because of that, because I think he's a very important character to the show.
Everything ends happy. They get the vial. Fortunately, he finds a refrigerator, a glass refrigerator in the school that just happens to be the perfect refrigerator to put the biological weapon into.
Those Pepsis are ruined. What was the deal with that? That's the one part I didn't understand. He shoves it into the refrigerator and it goes poof.
And
what, it's not because it's in a fridge, it's not going to get into the atmosphere?
It's supposed to be
sealed. Yeah.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, there was one of those refrigerators at the school.
But that won't get into the atmosphere in any way, shape, or form.
See, yeah. I would think it would.
Refrigerators have vents.
I would too, but again, you suspend disbelief.
We try.
So I'm ready to let it go.
I thought you're not supposed to do that with that show.
But no, you have to to some extent.
I guess when you're talking about the guy. The guy has been a heroin addict, and he's been shot, he's been killed.
Had to kill a guy.
So you go through all this, and at the very end, the world is saved. And one of the last 5 minutes of the show, Kiefer Sutherland's in his car and he's crying.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like it's a good acting job by Kiefer Sutherland. He's crying. But here's the thing.
God, my heart went out to him.
Yeah. The audience is treated like an idiot. Because, like, we don't know that he's been through all this in 24 hours. And then to show what they do, they got him for 5 minutes, seriously going...
Can I ask you a question before you go on? Was it because... Were we supposed to believe that he was crying because it was the...
the overall weight of his situation, where he had to hack the guy's hand off, where he had to kill that agent.
Right, he's had this incredible day. So now, because we're so stupid, we don't know it. Mm-hmm. And then, just to make sure, while he's there having his breakdown, they call him up on his walkie-talkie to tell him they need him to ID a body. Mm-hmm. And even though he's crying and falling apart, he's still being... Bauer.
Mm-hmm.
Jack, we got a body over here. We need you. Over. Copy. Over. And again, you know, it's like the dumb producer saying...
But he's very proud of his daughter.
Yeah. And see, Jack Bauer's
name... You don't take it seriously because you had a drink. That's okay.
No, he was very proud of his daughter. She went from being this struggling, screaming, running through the woods, incompetent, I'm going to get kidnapped by people girl, to somebody who's now a CTU agent, right?
Yeah.
And he's proud of her because she was very brave and
just give me what I want.
Hi, Rob.
And you know, the other day when you said that you thought that you saw Carm somewhere, Carm Soprano, she looked good.
Mm-hmm.
Did she have that?
With, Bob Costas.
Did she have that short man haircut?
No, what she had was kind of a probably a shoulder length haircut that was kind of flayed out.
Check out her new haircut.
Really?
Check out, I think it's the New York Post today. Go to newyorkpost.com.
Ah.
Check out her, I am not kidding her.
She's got a man cut?
Yeah, she has.
Because I think that Bob Costas.
She has a Rob Spiewak haircut. Yeah. She has a crew cut.
Is it for some sort of role?
No. No, it's just because.
Are you sure?
Well, no, I'm not.
She have the wall camera.
Of course I'm not. See, you are bomb. You want to go Cameron?
Just so we can verify it. No, that's a joke. That's a joke.
Okay, but it was just, a
funny. See, Cameron being the liar that he is.
I know, it was a funny joke.
That was a joke.
Mm-hmm. See, that's the real Mike coming through, because Cameron is the liar that he is.
Right, so I said, let's verify all the facts by calling Cameron.
You know what we do have to do? We got 1 minute before we start the news, and we've let down all the kiddies today.
Cameron Coleman.
How so?
We are going to call the Harry Potter hotline.
Oh, good.
Because the Harry Potter movie starts, what, next week?
That's right.
And believe it or not, we've been selected.
Okay.
As one, we have giveaways to the premiere of this movie. We're not giving any of these tickets away today, but we have tickets for the Harry Potter premiere, so you don't have to wait in line or anything. And now, here is the Harry Potter update.
Calling now.
Hello?
Hi.
Who's... You've reached the Harry Potter hotline. Harry Potter here. Real happy about being on the show. I mean, real happy about the debut of the new Harry Potter movie.
Right.
For all the information on the brand new Harry Potter epic, press 1. To find out what Harry Potter is going to be up to this weekend, press 2.
Ooh.
Here's what Harry Potter is going to be up to this weekend.
Oh, that's what I pressed.
I'm going to Rob Spiewak's house. That's right, Rob Spiewak. He's the bigwig on the Don and Mike show, and I'm going to his house to play in his hot tub.
And who is this?
This is Harry Potter. To find out all the scary details of the Harry Potter upcoming world tour, press 3. To find out about Cameron Gray and how he lies to Don and Mike, press 4. Sometimes Harry has a few belts and beats the tar out of his wife. That's right.
Wow.
It's not Harry Potter. Buzz a little, buzz a little, buzz, buzz. Love, love, love a little, love, love. Buzz, buzz, buzz a little.
Wow.
What a fine time. Sure hope you go see the movie.
Yeah.
Harry Potter coming to a theater near you. I know you'll enjoy it. Ain't got no teeth at all. Harry Potter, they've all fallen out. I'm over 80. Hope you like Beyond MASH. And I really hope you're old enough to remember Beyond Dragnet. In a world
where only radio was strictly one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
I smell like
Dick's
Vapor Rub.
He made it up.
Yeah.
Buzz Absinthe Burbank.
Uh-huh. Harry, we'll talk to you. We'll call the hotline tomorrow.
Hey, what a pleasure it was to chat with you, Don.
A word for the kiddies?
A word for the kiddies. Leave me alone! Bye.
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter. See, it's Harry Morton. Never mind.
Mm-hmm.
Buzz?
Yes.
What is your lead story on the news and comments today?
So will there or won't there be terrorist attacks against the U.S. this summer?
All right, that's the lead. What, Mike?
Who cares?
What?
Stay tuned for news and comment coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
That was very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Reluctantly, here's Don and Mike.
Thank you, dude. Walker, it's time for news and comments now brought to you by Smoke Break. Smokers break the nasty habit without gaining weight. Smoke Break, revolutionary tablet for smokers.
This is good smoke.
Oh, dear.
Get it now at fine retail.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. Who do you love? Who do you love? Who do you fantasize about? Who do you love? Who do you love? Who do you love?
John!
That's what I thought.
Always.
It's not the same. It's not. It doesn't work both ways. Not a two-way street.
Not a bit.
Don't think he loves you. Mm. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Our intelligence reported yesterday that new information indicates that terrorists already in this country are planning a major attack on the U.S. this summer.
I'm not even Buzz like you guys are.
Right.
But for whatever reason, I just thought, you know, it'd be a great song.
What? What's that?
Jacob's Ladder.
Yeah, great song.
Ties
the whole show together.
By Huey Lewis.
For Jacob.
It was a mid chart.
Right.
Step by step, one by one, climbing Jacob's Ladder. No, we don't have it.
No.
What a shame. It would make sense because the guy who brought the absinthe, his name was Jacob.
Jacob.
And Buzz pushed his wife off a ladder earlier today.
Pretty amazing tie-in right there. No pushing.
You
had a great movie starring Tim Robbins.
Mm-hmm. Jacob's Ladder, right.
Right.
Scary movie.
And the Supremes, Up the Ladder to the Roof.
Remember that guy in the back of the car in Jacob's Ladder? You ever see that movie, Jacob's Ladder, where the head's going...
Mike, who can forget Jacob the Liar?
Yeah, Jacob the Liar. Robin Williams.
Another great Robin Williams role.
Absolutely. It's no Cheaper by the Dozen. But then what is?
God knows it didn't make money like Cheaper by the Dozen.
Yeah. I would stand up Jacob the Liar next to Cheaper by the Dozen as far as quality.
Any day of the week.
Come on.
I'm not even buzzed any day of the week.
Really?
Yeah. Jacob the Liar is an awful movie. It's like, if you saw Schindler's List...
It would have been better if Steve Martin was in it.
Yeah. No doubt. No doubt.
Agreed.
Listen, I'll get into this argument with you anytime.
Father of the Bride. You didn't like Father of the Bride.
Am I going to have to go down this list with you?
Little Cowboy Hat?
Jack.
I thought, didn't we have this argument?
Do you remember the movie Jack?
Didn't we have this argument?
Yes, we did.
Didn't we agree that it was... Where did it end up?
I don't know.
I don't either.
Buzz?
I'm tired. So, intelligence is reported...
You're more than tired.
Yeah.
That terrorists...
You're more than tired.
And I dig that about you!
I don't have it in me today.
Do have it in you today.
I have to have my wits about me if we're going to have the Robin Williams, Steve Martin debate. But there was a shot in one of the tabloids of Steve Martin making his latest film, and he was doing that same Martin Short, thrusting his waist out.
If I could just say this, though, the magic words...
Slapstick.
The magic words in that last sentence you just used?
Mm-hmm.
Making his latest movie.
Yeah.
That would be...
Oh, do you think that Robin Williams has been ostracized by Hollywood?
No, I would say ostracized by America.
Are you saying that Steve Martin is more popular now than Robin Williams?
I would say Steve Martin is...
I'd say nay to you.
Steve Martin is Diana, and Robin Williams is Fantasia. And let's see what happens. Let America decide.
I know that Robin Williams has a movie out.
Hello! So do I. You know what it's called? Straight to video. No, oh my God.
Wow.
Listen, I don't want to argue with
you
now.
How many Academy Award nominations does Steve Martin have? Zero.
I don't know.
He's got three.
Oscar loves.
Stop it. Don't do that. Don't try to confuse me.
What are you doing? What's he doing?
I said
that he had three.
Rob and Rob knew he had me, too.
Listen, it's no. I don't like arguing with you when you're drunk because you're too far ahead of me.
I'm not drunk.
I know, and I know you're not drunk. You're just happy.
I'm very, very happy.
Yes. Right now, you're happy.
Very happy to be here, as we all have been for quite some time.
And know what I think? For quite some time, all you do is what
No, really, wow.
Now that I remember it, I think we came to the realization
that they both were funny, that I think Steve Martin's funnier, you think Robin Williams is funnier, but collectively they both kind of suck now.
Yeah, they're movies.
They're movies.
And I think that we came to the realization it's dumb for us to argue about these two guys.
When they both broke on the scene with their stand-up, they were both... The two guys could not have been funny. They were great.
And that we're agreed on. They both, when they did stand-up when they first came out, nobody funny.
Beyond brilliant. And, you know, if they
for
were...
For both of them.
And if they kept that, I mean, but that can't happen.
For
I
both
guess
of
not.
Them. Buzz?
Yes. So, intelligence reports that terrorists already in this country are planning a major attack on the U.S. this summer. This morning, Homeland Security Secretary Tom Ridge said that even newer information indicates the attack will be connected to a high-profile event, such as the dedication of the new World War II monument.
Now, here's what I heard on TV today. Mm-hmm. This is ridiculous. I'm watching the morning's news show today, or Good Morning America,
one of
whatever
those.
It is. All
right.
And they've all got the same story.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the graphic they put up on the screen. Well, this weekend it's Memorial Day, and we have the new monument in Washington.
The dedication of the World War II Memorial.
Right.
Interview some of those octogenarians that are down there that are concerned. See how many of those are worried.
Now, here's the list. But, Mike, you've got to understand it in the context. And all of these were coming up on the screen, as the guy said. Mm-hmm. He said, and then we have the 4th of July holiday.
Right.
Then we have the end of summer Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget, we also have the Democratic Convention in Atlanta.
Right.
Republican
Convention in Boston, an economic summit in Georgia next month.
And Election Day. And don't forget, after Election Day, which is in November, then we have Christmas, we have New Year, and all of these are coming up on the screen as, like, in case you're a terrorist out there wondering when's a good time to hit America, they've got, like, 15...
Yeah, it's absurd.
They got 15 big things, and they're saying, so we have no idea when it's going to hit. Now, we can tell you, because we think the threat is in the summertime... We were not really looking seriously at December for Christmas.
That's good.
And
when I heard that they were
Hanukkah.
When I heard that one of the first events was the memorial dedication.
They mentioned Hanukkah.
Yeah,
they mentioned
I believe
Kwanzaa.
You. Sure. They talked about the memorial. I seriously, you know, for people from that generation, I'd love to hear those guys that are down there that are still with us. And what is it, like 1,100 a day of that generation?
Yeah.
World War II veterans die almost on a daily basis.
Right.
And I'd love to hear those guys and see what their take is on it. Because, hey, you going to target that one? Yeah, go ahead. Target that one and see what those people think.
And, you know, people wonder why in America we it's not that we're not on guard and that we don't care about this stuff. It's like you wake up in the morning and you just hear Al-Qaeda threat. There's 18,000 of them in America. Sometime this summer, we're not really sure.
No.
But listen, have a great time at Great America this weekend.
I think really after 9/11, don't you agree that everybody is vigilant now? That we're all, if we're going to go to the big event, that we would have our eyes on somebody that was out of line. You know, especially if somebody is a suicide bomber and would have to wear like an overcoat. And then I heard someone say, well, of course, in the major cities, don't people that are kind of quirky wear heavy clothing? I'm like, oh, God, just shut up.
My point was long-winded, albeit, but on the Today Show, and that was the show, we don't need a list of the 15 biggest things happening
in
the next year.
Here are the dates we're available.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Right. Terrorists.
Right.
And the last one they said, and once you get past Christmas and Kwanzaa and Hanukkah, and, of course, New Year's Eve, which is always a very, very nice target.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way that's a nice target. Don't forget the inauguration in January.
Right.
And the guy on TV more or less said, that would really be a great spot. This is what's
amazing. Wow.
You know, we've got the Capitol. And then they said, and that's not even to mention the Arch in St. Louis, the Sears Tower, LAX. In essence, what the reporters are saying is, yes, there's a threat, and gosh, there's a million really fine places you could destroy in America.
You know, the bottom line is, I don't know how everybody else feels, but I still look at every rental truck that I drive by.
And I think
everybody ought to live their life the same way. Mm-hmm. We live in a different world right now, and you just have to be ever vigilant. I mean, right after those news stories, I think we let our guard down. I almost welcome the fact that they say the threat level is going to be elevated because you can look around and you can be more vigilant and pay more attention to stuff that's going to go on.
Officials are also...
Thank you very much.
That was real hard for me to get out. Officials also worried about targets like shopping malls, which won't have the kind of security found at the high-profile events. Security is also being stepped up on the trains, subways, and bus lines. Quoting one official...
See, that's only a couple of years late.
Yeah, exactly. And how are they going to step up security on the trains?
Or on buses.
Yeah. Well,
are they going to
check tickets?
According to one official, there is clearly a steady drumbeat of information. They are going to attack and hit us hard. Officials say they've been listening to talk about a summer attack for several weeks now. They plan to put out pictures of the key suspects. But quoting the head of the FBI, it's our job, obviously, to try to identify who they are and apprehend them. Turns out one of your body's best defenses against the AIDS virus may be saliva. A new study says bacteria...
That means Dennis Murphy will never get AIDS.
Hold on. Okay, Don.
Here's a man who will never get AIDS.
I'm not the beautiful lady from Chicago.
He's soaking in it.
He's AIDS-free.
Study says bacteria that occurs naturally in the human mouth can block the immune virus and the cells it may have already infected. Thank your dentist for this discovery. The study was done by the College of Dentistry at the University of Illinois Chicago campus. They're focusing on the transmission of HIV from mother to infant during breastfeeding. Remains to be seen what effect this discovery has on the virus when it's transmitted sexually.
Just a second here, please. I know we weren't talking about VD, but...
Well, yes, we are.
Yeah, this is
VD. In a way, yeah.
I'm not the beautiful lady from Chicago.
VD.
Thank you, Dennis.
Hello.
Well, everybody loves VD.
And I
don't... How you doing, Stevens?
Hello.
Good. And I don't want to alarm anyone, but your doctor's necktie could kill you, or at least make you very ill.
See, you don't scare us, Buzz, when you give us that preamble.
What do I have to do?
Just surprise us.
Okay. Your doctor's necktie could kill you.
That helps.
Warning.
Danger, Buzz is trying to scare you now.
Or make you very ill.
Not if it's striped.
No, ask your doctor to dry clean his ties, or better yet, not to wear them. A new study says doctors' ties can and do carry dangerous pathogens. Here's a scary thought, quoting one researcher. If physicians wash their hands when they're supposed to, their ties would not be contaminated. One doctor began to suspect a tie problem when he noticed other doctors' ties brushing up against patients' bed linens and their bodies.
I love their food, though.
Their food?
Thai food.
Thai food. Yeah.
Mmm, boys, some of that pung tang or whatever that stuff is.
Yeah, that's what it is.
That's delicious.
It is. Earlier
I said pung tang.
That's right. That's what I said, too.
Pung tang.
I'm okay.
Tasty.
Earlier studies have shown that your doctor's pens, pager, cell phone, and stethoscope are also crawling with bacteria.
It's pen, pager, and what else?
Cell phone and stethoscope.
Stand by for a newsmaker on the telephone.
Hello, Don. Like, how you doing?
Hey, Dennis, how are you?
I just want to let you know that you might see me on television tonight.
Oh, is tonight the Spike TV show?
On the Spike TV show, the Stuntman Award show.
Oh, Dennis, you have some new information that would indicate you're going to be on TV?
No, I have no information, but you might see 10 seconds on there. Who knows?
We have the tapes of you that we were not able to play today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When we hear these tapes tomorrow, this is when you went out to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
This is not saliva. And you interviewed stars for the Spike TV show. Who's on your tape again?
The notables are... Bill Paxton.
The Motables are Bill Paxton.
Kevin Nealon. And Tristana Lopez, the T3 girl.
The who? Oh, the
T3 girl.
Oh, that's right,
girl.
The T3 girl.
Yeah, and everyone else, I have no clue who they were.
All right, Dennis, well, no one will be watching American Idol tonight.
No.
Everybody will be watching.
No, it's 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock.
Oh, right after Idol.
Yeah, that's right.
No, oh, it's 2 hours.
2 hours.
Oh, 8 to 10 tonight.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, maybe on the late feed.
Well, just Google it.
All right, thank you, Dennis.
Hey, Mike.
Mevo it.
Yes, Dennis?
Hey, you sound good today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Have fun.
Look forward to the dentist calling you.
The who?
We are going to get you those Da Vinci veneers, Dennis.
You got the best dentist in the world. It's word from him yet, Rob?
No, he's still on holiday.
God.
I got a question. The Vinci veneers, are they just like dentures or...
No, it's a little more painful.
Oh.
You don't feel anything, though, Dennis. Mike's just busting your balls.
Okay.
No, the veneers themselves are painless. It's the pulling out of the teeth that hurt.
Watch the Swan or watch Extreme Makeover to see the teeth we're talking about.
Yeah, watch how they carve up those mouths.
Okay.
Okay.
The first step into turning you into David Niven.
Absolutely, Dennis. And yeah, really, we're gonna make you the Swan.
Mike, thank you. Gone, thank you.
You're welcome, Dennis.
Okay, have a good night.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Oh, seriously, he's going to love it. Yeah.
Don't you list those calls, Buzz?
I do.
Don't you?
I love them.
You love them.
Uh-huh. That's Dennis Murphy, one of our best listeners.
Dennis Lurphy. Dennis Lurphy.
Right.
What's next? Buzz, we have to do a break here.
Next?
What's next on the news and comments?
Louisiana makes a decision on low-rise pants.
Right on.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
This is our live commercial for OnStar. Press the white button. Say you want to make a call, and it's like having a cell phone in your car, except it's hands-free.
The thing that's great about OnStar is that it's integrated into your car, and you can actually hear your cell phone through the stereo speakers, and it's the best audio quality you will ever have on any cell phone conversation. I think that's the best thing about it.
And what else is cool is that if you're going through an area, and you've got your cell phone, and it's like, beep, 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 in and out of the service area, you push the OnStar thing, it always goes through.
Cool.
And the coolest thing I found out in my car and everybody else's, if you have OnStar and you have the personal calling, the white button, you have a phone number in your car.
Absolutely.
And beside your cell phone. So you can call. It's funny, you're listening, like in my case, of course, I'm listening to 106.7.
Right.
And all of a sudden the radio cuts off and it goes, and you press the white button and it's a phone call for you.
And while no cell phone guarantees every call will go through, if you have OnStar, you can dial up your odds without having to dial anything.
OnStar personal calling is available here. Go to OnStar.com for info.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
The comedy stars of the Allen Line One Radio Funhouse.
Here we are.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Let me tell you that Friday we're giving away, this is a good prize, one-of-a-kind embroidered Don and Mike Show leather Harley jacket.
Ooh. But with our logo on it?
You bet.
Wow.
One of a kind embroidered Dynamite Show leather Harley jacket, courtesy of Patriot Harley Davidson. Well, City of Fairfax, live the legend. Go to WJFK.com to see a picture of the jacket. And here's a memo from...
It's just like the ones we all wear.
Yeah. From Cameron Gray.
Thank you, Rob.
To all... they finally have hired our producer.
Yay.
After a long search, we finally have a new producer for the Don and Mike Show, Beth Ann McBride.
Hooray. Beth Ann McBride. How do you like that name? Isn't that a great name?
And that's a real name. And as we've decided, her nickname is going to be Bam.
Bam! I like
B-A-M,
it.
B-A-M. Bam. Beth Ann McBride.
When's Bam rolling to town?
She'll be here Tuesday. Beth Ann moves here from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I think she's a great hire. And I'll tell you why. Because she's not... from inside.
Right.
You know, we hired somebody finally at one time who's not associated with the show.
Fresh blood.
She has, I'll tell you this about her, she has a great background. She's worked in Buffalo, Raleigh, North Carolina, Erie, Pennsylvania. She's a morning disc jockey, program director. She worked at Kiss FM in Charlotte.
Hmm.
She's a single mom. She's got a daughter. I love her. I think she'll be great. Anyway, they put out a memo. We're fortunate to have her join us in this critical role. Beth Ann starts Tuesday, June 1st, so you can look forward to Beth Ann's very first inquisition on the Don and Mike Show.
Fantastic.
Next Tuesday.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. When she finally starts. And don't forget, I like my coffee with just a little sweet and low.
She's going to smack you for saying that.
Well, Mike, it's true. It's true. I like my coffee with just a little sweet and low.
I'm just going to, first thing I'm going to say is, welcome aboard, honey.
You know what? I think she could go places.
Yeah, with a body like that, she could, Rob.
Sexual harassment humor brought to you by CBS.
Here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Louisiana lawmakers have taken...
Oh, come on. She had to lay us all to get the job.
Absolutely.
Yeah, as always.
Everybody. Right. Even Alan. Even Cameron. Everybody. Jeff Hedges.
Mm-hmm.
had to lay everybody.
Poor woman.
And it's just that lady.
Poor old Alan.
That's what they've all had to do.
Mm-hmm.
Even the male producers.
Even the men.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, we're equal.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi. Louisiana lawmakers have taken the high road on low riders. We're talking pants, not cars. State lawmakers were faced with a proposal that would outlaw low-rise jeans and pants when they expose underwear, be they boxers or thongs, or when they expose buttock clefts or pubic hair. The fine would have topped out at $175 with 3 days of community service.
That's what I'm doing right now.
Cleft.
All three.
Mm-hmm. But when the proposal came up for a vote yesterday...
You're not wearing a little rider.
I know. That's what makes it even more special. I'm going in the other direction.
You have a cleft.
The pike them up. The proposal was soundly defeated, you'll be pleased to know.
A cleft can occur lower or higher.
Treble or bass. One lawmaker says the fashion law would have made Louisiana the laughingstock of the country.
There's the laughingstock right there.
A lot of people watch Law and Order Special Victims Unit. I wonder how many of them know that one of the stars also made pornography.
Let me guess.
Who cares?
Let me guess. Hold on, I like this show.
Viewers. Yeah, but that's all right. I think it's a badge of honor.
Viewers care.
Let me guess. Is it the handsome Richard Belzer?
No, we can only dream, but no.
Vincent D'Onofrio.
Mm-mm, no.
Is it the guy who does the DA guy, the guy, the distinguished actor on that show who does the commercials for Price Waterhouse?
No, it's not Sam Waterston.
You mean Sam Waterston?
Yeah. No. Who is it?
Rapper Ice-T, who also plays Detective Tumola on SVU.
It's not the guy who used to be a senator?
No.
Fred Thompson.
Fred
Thompson.
No, not Fred.
Well, Ross, we're real excited about this pornography.
I really enjoy your tape, sir.
Well, thank you very much. Why don't you come up to the house? We'll have you for lunch.
Here's the... As a matter of fact, listen to this. We have audio. I know you say it's Ice-T.
I do.
But we have a male gay...
I just think it's Fred Thompson.
We have gay porno that stars Fred Thompson.
Really?
And I think James Garner. And they're talking about having gay sex.
Huh.
So listen now.
Yeah. Robinson's residence.
Jim. Is this a bad time?
No, just dressing. Going to a charity, dude. What's up? Are you serious? That is one tremendous step, Ross. Really tremendous.
Tell him he must be his lover.
Phone sex.
But tomorrow's fine. Absolutely. Now, come ahead.
Go for the blood test.
Now, we'll be in Connecticut the whole weekend.
Him and all his gay friends.
This is terribly exciting. I can't tell you how pleased I am that you thought to call me first.
Yeah.
From Fred Thompson's porno.
And then they get together.
Who's surprised that Ice-T was in a porno? Everybody's in a porno.
No, I don't think anyone is surprised, except for maybe some of the older viewers of the show who are not aware of this. Ice-T, who plays Detective Tumola on SVU, also stars in Ice-T's Pimpin' 101. In that 2002 release, he talks about the different kinds of hoes. Quote, strippers are my favorite type of hoes because they do not believe they are prostitutes. And now that he's married, he says...
It makes a lot of sense.
Now that he's married...
That's right.
He says, quote, it's funny. Free always costs you more. The wife is the ultimate hoe. And this pearl of wisdom...
That's right.
I just have to say, when the man's right, the man's right.
Have a good night.
This pearl from Ice-T...
Hey, my night has already been cemented.
Yeah.
Okay?
Frida, it was one sip.
Oh, listen, like I'm not going to... Like my mouth, is when I get home, is not going to be... Okay, let me...
Wow.
Are you okay?
She knows you well enough, she'll know.
She's busted my chops.
And my night has been cast in plaster. Also, another pearl of wisdom from Ice-T. All of us are hoes in one way or another, but very few will ever get the chance
to funniest,
truly man. Pimp.
I swear to God, you're the funniest when you have your absinthe. You really are.
NBC finds questions about Ice-T's porno to be uncomfortable.
Yeah. You had to look back at your card because you lost your place for
forgotten.
A second.
Hey, that's the only one.
You're doing a great job.
Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
Oh, well, look, it's time to wrap up. And finally,
don't cast away so fast.
No. Utah highway workers have discovered that those bottles along the side of the road are not apple juice.
Hey, you're doing a broadcast.
Yes, I am.
And your broad is in a cast.
There you go.
Yes, she is.
Your wife's in a cast.
Yeah.
Utah highway workers are finding these bottles of yellow liquid.
I'm going to cast you with the role of Scott Peterson. I'm just trying to make as many cast jokes as
I understand.
It's your wife's in the cast.
Utah highway workers finding bottles of yellow liquid along the brake test area for truckers along I-80 just outside of Salt Lake City.
You're going to do a pop music impression tonight. Who's Outkast. That?
quoting a Department of Transportation supervisor, that's not the worst of it. He says the Ziploc bags they've been finding do not contain Baby Ruth candy bars.
Okay. Is this like meatballs or okay.
He says his workers now have to wear special clothing.
Caddyshack.
Rubber gloves when they clean up along the highways.
Oh, God. Not a Baby Ruth.
There's now talk in Utah of installing restrooms at the brake test area. Probably not a bad idea. Quoting a cop who patrols the area, it's disgusting going into Salt Lake City. This is the first thing tourists see. I'm Buzz Burbank.
Yeah.
On the Don and Mike Show.
Yeah. So we got to go.
I want to kiss you.
We'll be back tomorrow with the all-new episode. Good day to you, sir.
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 You.
Check out my class.
Whatever. Bye.
Eat a lot.
Till we meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.